just like to declare the meeting open, and I'd also like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians on the land of which we meet, and I'd also like to pay respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to any other Indigenous people that are here with us today. I just have to read a bit of a spiel about public conduct at meetings. All members of the public present at a meeting must, not without prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode. Oh, I thought you were turning yours then, Steve. And leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at the meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements, and I may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for such period as the chairperson decides. And this period may include future meetings. Now, you might notice there's a few empty chairs today. The Mayor has asked for a leave of absence. May I have a mover, please, that a leave of absence be granted for Mayor Williams? Moved Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Edwards. All in favour? Unanimous. Councillor Golley is... Okay, you got that?
Yep.
No. Can no one else leave, please, or we won't have our quorum?
Can you hear us? Hello?
As you can tell, Councillor Golley is teleconferencing. You're not in the meeting yet, Councillor Golley. Can I please have a mover that Councillor Golley be given permission to take part in the general meeting by teleconference? Moved Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour? Unanimous with Councillor Tolte. I guess Councillor Hughes is still absent, and Elliott and Golley. And Councillor Hughes is in council. You're not yet. And Councillor Hughes, please get permission. We're giving you permission to be here now, Tracy. Can I please have someone move that Councillor Hughes be given permission to take part in the general meeting by teleconference? Move Councillor Edwards, Councillor Tolte seconded. All in favour? So now that was unanimous except for Councillor Elliott, who is absent. So now that we've got everybody through the technology on board, I welcome Pastor Steve Kennedy from the Champions Church of Thornlands to lead us in a council brief devotional segment. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Leadership, we'll have read a John Maxwell book. He would define leadership in one word, it's called influence. And so my ability to influence determines my level of leadership. So there's four levels of leadership that I'd like to talk to you about. One is downward, that's where your high schooler pushes a primary schooler around, we all get that. But then there's sideways leadership, where I have the ability to influence my peers. Tom Sawyer apparently did that brilliantly, to have all his mates paint his fence. But then there's a developed level called upward leadership. That's where someone younger is able to lead someone older or of more experience. And most people would think, okay, they're the three levels of leadership, but I want to introduce just one more to you, and it's called self-leadership. And it's the highest level of leadership whatsoever. I've been married for 38 years this year, and my wife, when I first got married, I thought she was a wuss. We would go out to dinner, and Susie would order chicken, and if, perchance, they deliver her fish, she would say, oh, it's all right, I'll eat it. And I'm one of 12 kids. You fought for everything you got, so I was very uppity about this. And I'd say, no, you didn't order fish, you ordered chicken, mate. And she said, no, I like fish. I said, you're a wuss. Come on, stand up for yourself. And it bothered me. But I have learned through the years, but what my wife has is self-leadership. She just knows what's worth a fight. I used to be a youth director, youth pastor, used to have a lot of people knock on my door, and a young fella knocked on my door that when I wasn't home and said, "Hello, is Steve home?" And she said, "No, he's not here." So that, then he didn't go away, he just stood there. And he said, "Are you going to invite me in?" And she said, "No, I'm not. I told you, Steve's not home." And when I got home and found that out, I realised this woman just knows what's worth the fight and what's not worth the fight. And so today, I guess, in council and in every part of our lives, we're going to come up with opportunities to have a blue. And then we're going to discover what sort of leadership we have. Is this worth a blue? Or is this worth walking away from? It's called self-leadership. Jesus displayed it in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, where he didn't want to go through at the cross. But he simply submitted and said, "Hang on, this isn't worth the fight. I'm actually called to do this." And so I'd like to just encourage you to both be a bit introspective, have a look at yourself. You'll get an opportunity before the end of the day to assess your ability to lead yourself. And I'd like to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I'd particularly like to pray for Paul Gleeson today. Wearing that uniform is just absolutely thank you. He needs a blessing for sure. But Lord, I pray for each and every one. We pray for our mayor as our leader. And while she's absent, pray you bless her. Pray for Wendy as she chairs this meeting and the affairs of our city, this fantastic city. I pray for your blessing upon all we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. It's nice to be with you.
Thank you.
You have any bike, Doug?
You can stay if you like. More the merrier.
Thank you, Wendy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right, so we'll now move on to recognition of achievement. I haven't been advised of any. Did any councillor have anything they wanted to? No, not at this stage. Right, so we then go on to receipt and confirmation of the minutes. Can I have a mover, please, that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 7th of June 2017 be confirmed? Moved Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Edwards. Are there any correctness or any other comments on the minutes? Okay, I'll put the motion then. All in favour? Thank you.
Can we?
Yeah, we're just waiting for the ayes. Councillor Golay, are you there? Councillor Hughes? This is the US Enterprise, what is it, the Australian Enterprise Redland City Council calling? No, so we'll just have, what will we note in the minutes? Councillor Golay, Councillor Hughes, can you hear me? For the vote, please.
Yes.
So you're happy with the minutes being moved from the previous meeting?
Yes, thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Aye from Councillor Hughes. Is Councillor Golay there? No, I think that's the must be the presentation they're in. Right. So we'll say Councillor Golay is absent for that one. Yes. Okay, we now move on to public participation. Can I have a mover, please, that the meeting adjourn for a further 15 minutes, public participation segment... Oh, no, fora. For 15 minutes for public participation to allow members of the public to address council on matters of public interest relating to local government. Yes, I have two. I have two already confirmed. It's Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Mitchell. All in favour? Councillor Hughes, are you there? Okay. Aye from Councillor Hughes. And Councillor Golay, are you there? Absent. Okay, just before we move into public participation, I just have to read the following. You may have noticed the signage in the chambers regarding public participation at meetings. It is Council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. This information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's Administration Building and published on the Council's website. I also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio, video, and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording, video, may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing the meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about, stand, act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and relevance of its matter, give priority to members of the public who have made written application, determine the maximum numbers of speakers, and withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this time. There's also a hearing loop if there is anybody hearing impaired. So before anyone begins, can you please state your name and suburb or organisation you represent and please begin then when you're ready. The first written application I've got here is Mrs. Dorothy Smith. Yes? Would you like to come forward please, Mrs. Smith? If you're right. Thank you, Mrs. Smith. And then just before you begin, if you could state your name and suburb or organisation, and then just begin when you're ready. Thank you.
My name's Dorothy Smith. I live at Vicky Point. And I'm speaking on behalf of myself and any other pensioners which would appreciate it too. First thing I want to say, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure. Is Home at Six run by you?
Oh, we don't answer questions here.
Does it come through the council?
Would you like to? Yes, at the moment it is through Redden City Council, but we can't at this stage enter into conversations with you.
No, that's all right. Now, down in the Logan area, they get vouchers for mowing. So the people are paying, but they're not paying, the pensioners are not paying the price that some of them are asking. Now, I think as the government asks people to stay in their homes. I am nearly 79 and my husband's nearly 80. His back has gone and he can't do the mowing. So I'm asking you, and I imagine other pensioners will think the same as I. Now, I mightn't be putting this in the same as it should, but that is one of the things. Where I get a lady comes in from Anglicare and does my floors once a fortnight, I'm happy. I pay them. Now, I would like to see the Redlands. I have been living here since 94, and I'd like to see the Redlands try and give the pensioners that little bit of help. They say go through aged care. Aged care cannot do anything for us. So I don't know who's handling all this and deciding on this, but I would like to see something done on behalf of the Redlands for the pensioners and in the lead, you know.
Great. Thank you, Mrs. Smith, for your presentation this morning.
Thank you.
Okay, the next person on my list is Mrs. Debbie Swain, resident of Wellington Point, regarding funding for the Donald Simpson Centre. If you'd like to come forward, Deborah. And please state your name and suburb or organisation you represent and then begin when ready. Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor and Councillors, good morning. My name is Deborah Swain of Wellington Point. I am here as a concerned Redlands resident and hold no affiliation with any organisation. Thank you for allowing me to address the Council and present this petition regarding reduction in operational funding for the Donald Simpson Community Centre. As a resident of the Redlands and a member of the centre, I'm extremely concerned about the Redlands City Council's reduction of annual operational financial funding to $50,000 for this coming financial year and to zero from June 2018. This represents a reduction in operational funding to an all-age community centre, not a club that may have poker machines, etc., or one that only runs seasonally, but a community centre that is used on average 7 days a week by a high volume of local Redlands citizens of all abilities and ages. A centre that generates, as at audited figures 2016, 62% of its own income, and with the 28% operational income from council being used for the only paid staff, such as manager and secretary, who, along with non-paid board members, have over the years applied for grants to assist with the financial sustainability of the centre and have been successful. However, they can only apply for capital works and grants and nothing of an operational nature, which is why funding is so important. With over 120 volunteers and some 50,000 visitors a year, this is a centre like none other in the Redlands or its surrounds. The centre was opened in 1987 with funds from state and local government and donations from community, a centre named after Donald Simpson, a Shire clerk, from 1963 to 78, and who was a wonderful community supporter, who passed in 1981 and was honoured in such a way to have the parkland and the centre in his name. One only has to look at the membership pack to appreciate the wide range of services provided to those retired and non-retired, matured, lesser abilities and young community. Not maintaining council's financial operational funding will result in increases in fees and charges too. Membership fees for excess of 2,200 members, room hire, activity fees, services provided, educational classes. This increase in fees and charges will have a serious economic effect and lead to the reduction of affordability of services to our fixed low-income community. The council has operated with good governance. The centre has always operated with good governance and sound financial principles, with their finances and working hard to keep prices affordable so the centre is available to as many Redlanders as possible. The council's 2030 community plan talks of an ageing and a health community, well-coordinated services and networks, community facilities as people grow older. In general, this is the Donald Simpson Community Centre, which caters for people of all levels of health and fitness, from able-bodied to walkers and wheelie walkers, the hearing and sight impaired, people with health issues, people with disability, supporting all demographics of people with or without issues, and welcomes people to join and make good use of the facilities, including the dining facilities, which currently provides affordable meals and a place to just sit and socialise. The hub, the centre, is a hub for Redlands Senior Week, including the Seniors Week Walk, and for the subsequent Senior Week of events. Craft classes provide the Redlands Public Hospital Auxiliary with large numbers of knitted and handmade craft to raise funds for vital hospital equipment and on-site events to raise funds for the hospital. The Donald Simpson Centre is an icon of the Redlands community and providing community help, hopefully, for today, tomorrow, and years to come. The centre provides for the well-being of our people. These people may be your grandparents, mother, father, friends, or who knows, over time, maybe even yourself or your children. Medical facts have proven that interaction, communication, helps with the health and well-being of the ageing. The Redlands City Council, by cutting operational funding, shows a gross dereliction of their duty as a good corporate citizen. The withdrawal of the Council's financial operational support of the Donald Simpson Centre is a slap in the face to the community who played a key role in the development of our beautiful city and the well-being of our community. The centre shows good management and financial prudence, also providing the viability of the centre for future generations. Excess funds currently maintaining the 3 months operational emergency funds of $150,000, the $70,000 which was kept to be put towards the hub. Plus, if you add the money for solar panels, the reserve money is accounted for with no extra. Currently, there is no concrete evidence of the development and funding of a proposed hub or a transitional strategy for the replacement of the centre's current contribution to the care and well-being of the community. I would like to present this petition of only 2 weeks' work and plead on behalf of the signatories and even those unaccepted e-petitioners and so many of those in our community who are not yet aware of this decision by their council, and for the restoration of council's financial operational funding to the Donald Simpson Community Centre. I thank you for your time.
Can I have a mover, please, that the meeting proceedings resume? Move, Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Hewlett. All in favour? Carried. Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, I heard an aye from Councillor Golly and Councillor Hughes at that time. Now, did anyone else have a petition to present? Okay, I would like to present a petition from residents requesting that Council reverse its decision during its forthcoming budget deliberations to cease funding the Donald Simpson Centre from June 2018 and restore funding to the current level. I move a motion that the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration. And I just get a seconder for that. Seconded, Councillor Bishop. All in favour of accepting that? I heard an aye from Councillor Hughes and Councillor Golay there. So that was passed unanimously. Right. There's no order of business to change the... No one wants to change anything? No. So I'll just read out the material personal interest and conflict of interest. Councillors are reminded of the responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to the councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at the meeting, and a summary of responsibilities is included in the agenda. So we'll now move on to the reports. Can I have a mover for 11.1.1, please? Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to move item 11.1.1. It's revenue policy, statutory revenue policy.
And a seconder, Councillor Edwards. Councillor Gleeson, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thanks, Chair. I'm just going to refer that over to the CFO, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, happy to talk to the revenue policy for the 2017-18 financial year. So every year, Council reviews its financial policies as part of budget deliberations. And for the 17-18 budget, Council looked at the revenue policy on the 1st of March and then on the 8th of May. During that time, we also consulted with an external legal firm to ensure compliance with Section 193 of the Local Government Regulation. 2012. Council will note that there's no significant change to the revenue policy. The policy intent remains the same, although it does have a new look and feel, slight wording changes and style change, and that's attributable to our new external legal firm. So happy to take any questions on the proposed policy for 1718.
Are there any...
Do I have a question?
Yes, Councillor Hughes.
If I was saying, I would just like clarification on any key changes on dot point 4. It says minor changes to separate and special charges. What are the minor changes? Thank you. That's page 6 of the policy.
Thank you. Through you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question, Councillor. As alluded to before, we sent the document through to an external legal firm, and there's no policy intent change to the section titled Separate and Special Charges on the revenue policy. The wording changes haven't resulted in any change to the programme of works that Council intends to do in those particular areas, and it's really just a style change. So I seem to recall I sent through to Councillor Hughes the track changes from the legal company, so it's really a style issue that I'm happy to change if it's not acceptable to councillors today.
Are you right?
Thank you.
You're right, Councillor Hughes?
Yes, thank you for that.
Thank you. Were there any other questions or for or against? With that being it, I'll pass back to Councillor Gleeson to sum up.
Nothing more to add.
Okay, I'll then put the motion. All in favour? All in favour, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Golly?
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Councillor Golly, are you there?
Yeah, I said aye.
Could you just speak up a bit, please? Sorry, I couldn't hear you before. Thank you. Right, so we'll move on to 11.1.2, the monthly financials. Can I have a mover for that one, please? Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to move item 11.1.2, which is the May financial report for 2017.
Thank you. And Councillor Edwards, you're happy to second that? Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Look, it's just a monthly report. It's all in there. As is fairly common for us, fairly good report again, but I will hand over to the CFO for anything further. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, the councillors, thank you for the opportunity to talk to the May monthly financials. This suite of reports includes the final budget review that Council adopted in May, and so that takes us to the best estimates where we think we're going to come in by 30 June. On behalf of the finance team, I would like us to note that we haven't included end-of-year adjustments. So post 30 June, there'll be substantial work across the organisation to ensure that appropriate costs and revenue streams are captured in the 16-17 financial year. As at the end of May, we note that there are 10 out of the 11 key performance indicators that have been met or exceeded, and there are strong cash balances at the end of May. So with 1 month to go, the balance sheet's looking strong, the cash position's looking favourable, and happy to take questions on anything in the May monthly financial reports, Madam Chair.
Councillor Bishop, you have a question, then Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you very much. Thanks for all the great work in finance, which is always on top of things, and appreciate that. I've got two questions. One is that our old friend, the asset sustainability ratio, and I know that that is much contested as a metric, and I know that there's great work being done within the organisation to ensure that we've got clarity about our long-term strategic direction and making sure through the Portfolio Management Office that that's being addressed. I just want to get your thoughts, Deb, if we could, on the year-to-date figure, percentage-wise, and just remind us where that's tracking and if there's any indication from that we should be mindful of.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, we can see that the target of 90% isn't being met, and we know from our long-term forecast that's very much a stretch target. What we are doing in the organisation through the asset management project that I'm lucky enough to sponsor is to look at, are there other ratios that we can use to reflect Council's performance with respect to asset management and in particular renewals? There's two ratios that the team's currently looking at. We used to report on the asset consumption ratio, and there's another ratio that some other local governments report on, the asset renewal funding ratio. Both of those, if they were to complement the asset sustainability ratio, would probably get a broader picture of council's performance in asset management. What I'm keen to do as part of the project before we throw more ratios and numbers into the picture is to do a data cleansing activity where we look at the asset base. We know that there's $2.5 billion sitting there in PP&E, in our property, plant and equipment, and probably ask the asset owners to look at the useful lives of those assets, the condition of those assets, and really ensure that before we introduce new metrics, we've got our asset data as well as it can be. So in terms of these ratios, when we look at depreciation, that's very much driven by what we think the useful life of that asset will be. So I'd like us to do that body of work first. It's quite a comprehensive piece of work that involves a lot of stakeholders across the business, and we're going to do a data cleansing opportunity and activity, and then we can talk to councillors about introducing some new metrics. So the current ratio, as it stands, the definition is the spend on renewals over depreciation. So we council renews its assets in line with its asset service management plans, not to meet an asset sustainability ratio. So that's probably where I'm sitting today. Happy to take further questions.
No, thank you. I very much appreciate that work is critical to give us clarity as to where we are now and how we plan for that future. The only other question, if I may, through you, Deputy Mayor, Madam Chair, to General Manager Peter Best, just in relation to that last month of June, we've got a spend so far of $58,964,000. And we've got $83 million projected. That's a big spend in the last month. I know you said we were tracking in that direction. I asked at the last general meeting. Just wanted to get your assessment on where that's at.
My assessment will be forthcoming after tomorrow, Councillor. Tomorrow we have 3 hours of project reviews, capital project reviews, forecast scheduled with all of the project managers who are managing the infrastructure and operations part of the capital program. We have been spending frantically this month as works come to closure and invoices come in, and as Deborah said, the true picture will be available in the month of July. It is an ask, absolutely, but we'll have a better picture after tomorrow.
Great, I appreciate reconciliation end of year stuff, so thank you very much for that. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Councillor Edwards?
Just a couple of comments. I'll pick up, it was going to be my last question, but Paul's picked up on it first. Discounting June's figures, I think the capital works expenditures have been tracking well, and I think the GM's is probably driving that, which is good to see. We've never really achieved that where we should be each year, but this is the closest I've ever seen it since I've been here. Deborah, good set of numbers, as usual. I think KPIs are exactly where we should be. I just want to make one note that ever since I've been here, we start off with our budget at the beginning of the year with our forecasts, and the team have consistently driven us to a point at the end of the financial year improving on those sets of numbers. So I'd just like to thank in advance for the work that the organisation's been doing. They watch every single dollar. They make it go the furthest they can. And this, again, is another outcome we're looking at for this year, which is a lot better than we forecast 4 months ago. So thanks for the work you've done.
Councillor Hughes, and can I just ask Councillor Golay or Councillor Hughes, whichever one is typing, that's coming through our speaker, please. Councillor Hughes, you have a question on the report?
I'm not sure. I was having difficulty following Councillor Edwards, but I think following on from what he was saying, if you could just remind the guys to speak into the microphone would help me a lot, thanks, or both of us. Page 5 of the report, capital revenue is down somewhat, so I was about $23 million. I was going to ask the CFO if she could just quickly outline that off page 5 on the Statement of Comprehensive Income. Thank you. Capital revenue?
Thank you, Madam Chair. To you, thank you for the question, Councillor. capital on the statement of comprehensive income, capital grants, subsidies and contributions outlines the performance to date for developer contributions, infrastructure charges, but also grants and subsidies that council has secured. If we were to turn to page 9, it gives a little bit more of a breakout there. So it's the same numbers, probably just in some more detail, so that we can see that capital contributions and donations are under current year's revised budget by $4.8 million, and the capital grants and subsidies are tracking under, so unfavourable, by just over $500,000. My understanding from a sort of corporate perspective is it's very hard to track developer contributions, the timing of those infrastructure charges. We've seen in the past an uplift towards 30 June, and we know that the business is always working to apply for grants and subsidies in line with projects and programs. So I think we'll see. I've looked at June's performance year to date. We know that we've not closed out June's, and there is a little bit of growth in both of those line items year to date in June. So I certainly can't forecast that we'll come in on track. We can see that the budget that Council adopted last July, we've reduced our forecast in the capital contributions and donations from the original budget, and that's purely down to how current trends are progressing. So, yes, we note that certainly for the infrastructure charges, that's unfavourable. Council tries to offset through its funding coordinator applications for grants and subsidies, whether they be capital or operational, to the best of our ability. So, one to watch, and happy to keep talking about that or take further questions if there's more detail required.
Councillor Hughes, is that
thank
answer?
You.
Yes, great. Thank you. Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Councillor Mitchell, just a question on the report.
Yeah, yep. Yes, Deputy Mayor. Yeah, through you, Deputy Mayor, to the CFO. CFO, the data cleansing exercise, it's a lovely word, and I understand, in layman's terms, my understanding, it's what stuff we own, what's its condition, and what's our long-term financial obligations, so very, very important and big numbers for our city with depreciation, etc., and for that long-term forecasting and budgeting. Is this an exercise, could you just give us some indication of how long you anticipate the data cleansing exercise may take?
Through you, Madam Chair, it's a very comprehensive body of work. The asset base is $2.4 billion. However, we have a set of staff at Redland City Council that is absolutely committed to getting the best information into the financial management and asset management system. I'm unkeen to put a time frame on it because I think we want to do it once and do it well, so I don't want to sound clever with that phrase, but we know that we've got an asset management project for 2 years, so I think at least give me that time frame in that project time. That's where it will be delivered. Through the asset management project, it needs stakeholders across the business to do that body of work, so that isn't something that a corporate finance team can do. We can't throw people at it to get it done quicker, so it really needs to, we're committed at the executive level to ensure that our people own those assets, so we understand what those assets are, where they are, the life of those assets and the value of those assets, and that's a big educational piece. So happy to keep talking about that, but I think as we track through the asset management project, we'll see the progress. So Council has very kindly supported the project plan back in March, 22nd of March from memory, and there's timeframes in there. So it's a comprehensive piece of work that we will happy track as it progresses. So hopefully that satisfies, if not, happy to talk further.
Thank you. Are there any more questions? I don't think there's any need to enter into formal debate or for or against, is there? We're just... who moved that one after all that? Councillor Gleeson, would you like to...
Thanks, Chair. Look, I'll just wrap it up by saying each month we've had strong, consistent figures come through from the CFO. And as Councillor Edwards said, you know, the results have just been improving as throughout the course of the year. So once again, as we say every fortnight, well done to the CFO and the finance crew. They've done a great job this year. And I look forward to seeing the final results for the financial year.
Okay, with that, I'll put the motion. All in favour?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, aye.
Aye.
Councillor Hughes, yes.
Okay, so that was unanimous. Right, we move on to the operational plan, 11.2.1, if I could have a move for that. Oh, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move 11.2.1, the operational plan for 2017-18.
Okay, can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Hewlett. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is obviously the operational plan is required to produce and adopt. It deals with how Council will deliver the significant activities identified within the corporate plan and the Redlands 2030 Community Plan within this financial year. And it just basically focuses the officers on the wishes of the community and of council of the day. So it's a very important record of how the rubber hits the road. I would like to ask, if I may, a question of the Chief Financial Officer. It may have just been an oversight on my part, but in previous years I don't recall the attachment of red waste and red water to the operational plan, but I may have been incorrect in that, and I'd just like to, because it's not mentioned in the actual body of the report, although it is mentioned in the operational plan. Can I just get clarification on that, please, just for my own record keeping?
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For you, thank you for the question, Councillor. As an executive team, we noted in the Local Government Regulation, Section 175, that the annual operational plan, is required to include the annual performance plan of the commercial business units. So for Redland City Council, that's Redland Water and Red Waste. And the team had the APPs, the annual performance plans, completed in time. So this year we're proud to attach them to the annual operational plan. So the legislation says they must be part of that annual operational plan. Every year they are, but sometimes they've been tabled. As for example, last year, you remember correctly, Councillor, that they were tabled at the special budget meeting. The ELT took stock and said, well, they're finished, they're done, they're ready. Let's attach them to the annual operational plan. So continuous improvement in action. We've now put them to table to Council today to align with the annual operational plan.
Not surprised, but delighted to see good governance, and appreciate that. And just note that there are many very important undertakings from officers over the course of this next year, and look forward to reviewing the operational plan next year, because it really is the important bit where communities' needs are dealt with through the works of officers. So it's great to have it in this document and support that. Thank you.
Thank you. Were there any other questions to the report? Thank you, Councillor Hewlett. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, Chair. I've just got a couple of comments. Firstly, in the healthy natural environment, it says continue implementing a program to plant 1 million native trees. From my understanding, that's a new initiative. Like, this council plants hundreds of thousands of trees across the city every year. And this 1 million tree thing that we're implementing now is really just a motherhood statement. We debated this in previous meetings. It's a very, very costly expense in an operational budget. And I just want to know, I never ever actually got an answer on what it actually means. We already plant hundreds of thousands of trees, and here's another one, we're adding another million. It's just a motherhood statement. What does it mean?
Louise Lucerne, you've got a reply. Thank you. I just wasn't too sure which general manager, but Louise.
I'm happy to answer that question. Thank you, Deputy Mayor, Madam Chair. Councillor Hewlett, a very good question. Excuse me. We were talking about that particular project for the 17-18 year. This project has been in the operational plan for the entirety of this year, and it's about planting native plants as well as trees. It is a project that we are very keen to make sure we do have revegetation happening within our city. There are different types of plantings that we do. We have bush care plantings, we have offset plantings, and the intention is really to be looking at some of the corridor work that we'll be having as a strategy coming back to Council for consideration into the future. Appreciate that it's probably something that you're saying, well, how does this particular project deliver results? I'm happy to provide some information to you. I wasn't aware that you had something outstanding in that space, but it has been a project that's been in the operational plan as endorsed by Council when the operational plan was agreed to prior to this financial year.
Yeah, I was just alluding to the fact if you go through our environmental levy operational projects, there's lots of stuff we're doing replacing trees, and I fully support bush cares and coast cares and whatever plantings we're doing. This just seemed to run parallel to an additional cost that I didn't think was necessary. But my next question is, and I said this during the corporate plan, we seem to shy away from using the word Ramsar-listed wetland in our Embracing the Bay. That's what Moreton Bay is. I wanted to include it in the corporate plan. It's not in our operational plan.
Any particular page, Councillor Hewlett? No.
Embracing the Bay in the attachment, just under the main headings. I just don't know why we don't include it's a listed Ramsar-listed wetland. It's of an international significance, that bay, and yet it's in Brisbane City Council's corporate and operational plan, but it's not in our plan. Just thought I'd mention it. And the other one, the coastal adaptation strategy, I'm very happy to see that coming forward, and I look forward to the shoreline erosion management plan on Coochie Mudlow this coming financial year. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Edwards and Councillor Hughes.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, Councillor Hughes. Councillor Edwards is next, and then you.
Thank you. This is a real living document, and things, tangible things come out of this. And I'd just like to share one part of this. And on Embracing the Bay, we go down there, we'll build community resilience to ensure residents have capacity to prepare, respond and recover from severe weather events. Recently, just a few weeks ago, an exercise was conducted there, which was coordinated by council was held at Russell Island. It was called Operation Exodus. And the purpose was we had multi-agencies all come together and in an exercise go through several scenarios of evacuations and people injured and everything that would happen in a severe weather event and try and learn from what went well and what went didn't. And one of the things that council introduced was a thing called Community Champions, where we had volunteers from within the community who put their hands up to be trained by the Red Cross to be like the first responders in a weather event or any event which might impact on those communities. And they're in a position now that they can automatically set up the evac centre straight away without relying on council or other external agencies getting there first. And it's a model that's not only been embraced by those island communities and has given them greater resilience, but it's a model that can be carried across to the mainland, across to Stradbroke, indeed anywhere. And so it's really empowering the community through training, support, and giving them an understanding of how all the agencies work together to provide and support communities in events which could be natural disasters. So I'd just like to point out that's just one thing. It takes up only a few little lines, but there was a whole lot of work that's been done about that and will benefit our community as we move forward. So I just wanted to just highlight that. Thank you.
That was a wonderful day and there were many lessons learned, weren't there? It was very productive. Councillor Hughes?
Thank you. I have a comment first and then a question following on from Councillor Bishop. My comment is referring to 6.1.3 on page 13 of the report, supportive a vibrant economy, 6.1.3, I'll say it again if you weren't quite sure, and it says develop and deliver a unique Redland City brand, and A is undertake research. And I just wanted to alert councillors and members of the public that are listening that we ourselves were personally telemarketed just this other about 3 days ago, and it was interesting to be telemarketed on our own subjects. It was great. So I commend the team behind that. They are obviously on the ball, and that's happening out there in our community as we speak. Not sure if anybody else has been telemarketed, but the questions were really innovative. So that's a comment. My question was following Councillor Bishop, the water and wastewater services. When we go to that report on page 8, customer service accountability and deliverability, I just wonder where that is being accounted to. So how do we respond to that? Page 8 of 15.
Does the councillor mean seeking 11.3? 11.2?
Page 8 of 15, Redland Water will make every effort to, and there's water and wastewater, our key indicators, and accountability. How is that being monitored and reported back to us, please?
How's the accountability taking place?
Yeah, we're just actually trying to find it. It's page 8 of the report, not the... Redland Water report. Yep, sorry, I was looking in the operational work thinking. Page 8 of 15 of the Redland Water annual report.
So what's the question?
So what was the question again? Thank you, Councillor Hughes.
These are the key indicators we have. How is this being monitored and reported? What accountability is being held to these points for water and wastewater?
It's monitored on it's monitored on a monthly basis and reported. We have certain criteria.
Monthly
basis we report,
yep,
as well as in the annual report as well.
Thank you.
Okay, were there any more questions? I'd just like to thank Louise. When I was looking at the draft, I actually asked, could we have a more formalised relationship with the Koala Action Group? On page 3 of the operational plan, you'll see 1.2.1, where we implement the Koala strategy and the action plan, and at present they're doing amazing work with following tagged koalas and their pathways around certain areas, and it's really ground truthed and got facts, and we are now formalising, I believe, the officers have followed that up and they're actually formalising getting that information to feed into our report, so everything's based on those facts, and which is excellent, so thank you for following that up for me in the last week. So if there's no more questions, I'll pass back to Councillor Bishop.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the discussion, and also just like to make a couple of comments. I agree, and in our discussions regarding healthy natural environment, I did ask in relation to the those particular matters whether we could actually look a little more broadly at the range of options to encourage and support not just the koala, but other species as well, and it's good to see officers aware of the many great things that are being done within our community. And one of the concerns that I've noted is that some people in the community are interpreting the Koala Strategy and Action Plan as a punitive response to dogs in the community. I think it's very important that we make it clear that that is an aspect, but not the aspect, and so I think it's very important upon us as officers, to ensure that there are many things that can be done to support not only the koala but other species as well. Totally support the work that officers have done in relation to the operation. Which was it? What was it called? Mark on the island, Operation Exodus, which was amazing. Obviously, those things take resources from officers. So every single thing in here requires our officers to go and do work, and there are limits to those resources, and I think where necessary, I'd encourage officers to come to us and remind us that those resources need to be supported, and would like to just acknowledge that that work is constant, ongoing, and our officers are under the pump, so I appreciate all their work. If I can also just acknowledge the great work that has been done with relation to Quandamooka Country. It's very pleasing to see moving forward in the that we have done some great work in that space, and I do look forward to the establishment of a strategic Indigenous cultural heritage plan down the track. Hopefully that will be important for the transition into Strati, as the Quandamooka people are the first peoples of that place and this whole area. The other general thing is, if I could just make an observation that in line with bringing these reports, Red Water and Red Waste, I suspect that it would be good for us to have as a council a consolidated discussion prior to this happening next year, just so that we can go through the detail of those reports as council, if we could just encourage that. But I very much appreciate it all being aligned for good governance, and very much appreciate all the work that officers have done and will do as a result of this plan. Hereby put that motion.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, I'll just go all in favour. Councillor Bishop. Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Boglari, those against, Councillor Gleeson. Thank you. So we'll now move on to 11.3.1, decisions made under delegated authority. May I have a mover for that motion, please? Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move 11.3.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications.
And Councillor Mitchell, you're seconding it. Any questions to the reports? No? No need to move into formal. Go back to Councillor Hewlett, thanks.
Happy to move it, Madam Mayor.
All in favour? Right, did you get those ones? Unanimous. 11.3.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters. Can I have a mover for that one? Oh, Councillor Hewlett.
Happy to move 11.3.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters as of 6th of June 2017.
And a seconder, please. Councillor Mitchell. Any questions to the report or no? I'll go back to Councillor Hewlett.
Happy to move the report, Madam Mayor.
I'll put the motion. All in favour?
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you. I'll move on to 11.3.4, the Economic Development Advisory Board update. What did I miss one? 11.3.3, sorry. Delegations for the new plan. Okay, thank you. When the time's right, I'll let you know. 11.3.3, can I have a mover for that one? Thank you. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move 11.3.3, delegations for the new Planning Act 2016.
Right, can I have a seconder? Councillor Bishop. Now, are there questions to the report, are there? Councillor Bishop, you got a question to the report? Yep.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. The purpose of this report is to provide delegations to the CEO under the Planning Act 2016 and Planning Regulation 2017 and update the limitations of power conferred by delegation. In order for Council to perform its business and development assessment and development compliance, numerous operational decisions must be made on a day-to-day basis for tasks such as issuing of notices, providing development approvals. It would be ineffective, inefficient and inconvenient for all these decisions to have to be made by reports brought to council meetings and council resolutions.
Okay, we do have officers in the room who can speak to this, and perhaps if I ask them to come forward, that might help with the questions that obviously some councillors have got. Through you, Louise, who would I ask to just give a summary of it?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Craig, can you come forward and assist, please? So we covered off some of this information in the lead-up to the general meeting, but happy to have Craig give a quick overview and take any questions. Come and sit beside Claire there, Craig. Thank you. This is Craig Dixon.
Thank you, Craig. If you could just run us through, it might answer some of the questions.
Sure. So the report, the state government's bringing in new planning framework, which commences on the 3rd of July. So for us, for council to, I guess, efficiently administer the requirements of that of the legislation, these delegations are required. Council has previously delegated decision making and administrative requirements for its development assessment under the current legislation, which is the Sustainable Planning Act. This report is an administrative process to translate what we currently have under the Sustainable Planning Act for the new Planning Act. Any new provisions of the Planning Act have been removed from the registers that are attached to the report, and decisions on these matters would be brought back to Council for a decision. Council has previously delegated to the CEO administrative matters regarding the planning scheme. This report seeks to continue those delegations in terms of those administrative matters, in addition to planning scheme policies, temporary local planning instruments, which council currently does not have, and the local government infrastructure plan. Administrative amendments include things such as formatting, spelling, numbering, amending outdated terms or reflecting state instrument requirements. And the categories of delegation are being updated to reflect existing delegations and amended terminology under the Planning Act. Importantly, Category 4 delegations are not changing, which means Council can still make those decisions on higher level applications, and the decision can remain with Council to call in any level of application.
So, Councillor Bishop, you have a question to that report?
Yeah, thank you very much. It was good to go through the workshop yesterday, and for those councillors who weren't here, some questions were asked then that might be of relevance. One of the points that I asked yesterday was whether there is actually any reduction in councillors' ability to have the same level of scrutiny as we currently do, and I understand that there's no actual change in regards to that. Can we just get that clarified?
Through you, Chair, that's correct. There's absolutely no change in terms of Council's decisions to call in applications and oversee what's happening in terms of particularly Category 4s.
And there's no reduction or change in the in what we currently decide upon?
No, that's
just coming in line with
that's
that.
That's correct. So it's basically been a straight translation and the new stuff's been pulled out and Council will make a decision on those new things.
Great. And if there are any anomalies that do arise, we have the right to review that and bring them back later for
Absolutely.
Consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Golly, did you have any questions for the officers?
No, I don't mind a question.
Okay, so we'll move into formal then, so we can go for and against. Is there someone to speak for? Okay, Councillor Golly, you're speaking against the motion.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to speak against this motion on the grounds that we are the delegated authority as far as the organisation is concerned, and I feel it would be absolutely remiss of us at this stage to forego that delegation and simply leave it to individual councillors to say whether or not a development is going to be brought in or called in. Madam Chair, I would suspect that there is an expectation on us as members of the elected board to have all applications brought before council, despite the statements that it would be inefficient and ineffective to allow things just to move through the processes. I think that the buck stops with us. I think there's an expectation on the community for us to be a little bit more hands-on in the oversight of the planning of the city. And I think that this motion only allows for the status quo and what's been done in the past under the auspice of it's been done before, it's a new evolution. And I think we need to bring all applications for any type of development before council so that all councillors, as the delegated representative of their communities, can have a say on the outstanding planning issues or the planning and design of our city.
Okay, I'll just seek clarification from the officers because we still receive our weekly reports with all development applications from across the city come to every councillor, and councillors can call any one of those applications still up. There hasn't been any reduction in councillors' power to call any application at any stage up. Can I just have a clarification from either Louise or Craig, please? Thank you.
I've heard all that, Madam Chair, and I understand all that. But I think that's something that's happened in the past. I don't believe it's been effective. And I feel that as a board, that we need to bring all those applications and reports to council as a council body, not in a workshop or anything like that. It's brought before the general meeting and it's discussed openly, and questions can be asked of officers in relation to
But Councillor Golay, you can bring any application you wish up to council. You can do that now, and that power is not being taken from us. Any application can be brought towards council. This is more the administrative and grammatical errors.
Individual councillors then, and I would suggest that it's probably best that all applications come before all councillors, not just individual councillors, to have it called in.
They do. On that list we get, all applications that are going through each category come to all councillors now, and we do have access to other areas. I'm always looking through other areas, divisions as well. So can I just have clarification from Claire?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to raise a point that if all applications were brought to council formal meetings, council would no doubt be not complying with the statutory timeframes that are required under the new Act and the current Act in terms of assessing applications. It just wouldn't be possible. It's just a practicality.
Can you just clarify, though, that we still are receiving that list of all applications that are from garden sheds right up to six stories? We still will be receiving all of them for all divisions, and we can still call anyone up that we want?
That's absolutely correct. There's no change in terms of the current practices in terms of what kinds of applications are reported on and brought to council. That is all remaining as is. There's been no change. So the officers have trawled through the legislation and tried to ensure that that's exactly the case.
Are there any further... What are we up for? A four? Yep, Councillor Elliott?
Thanks, yes. Mayor. Yes. Sounds good. But I've been there. And if you wanted to say... And I'll say Ipswich is hot at the moment.
Don't go there.
No, I won't be going there. 900, I'm not sure what ours are, but it's a considerable amount. But the other night, Councillor Tully indicated there was 900 decisions made by council under delegated authority. So if you do some sums in your head, 900, if you had to bring 900, say 20 a week, and discuss all those, and I really love getting into carports and setbacks.
Retaining walls,
absolutely, Councillor Tully. That's the reality of it. And years ago, we did bring everything to council, and you had the whole of Tuesday was the DA meeting. So it wasn't just a workshop. It was the whole day was just the DA meeting. And that would have been only half a dozen. So if you want to sort of do that, book in every day of the week and night if you want to make it. This is the modern way to do things. You set the policy, and if it doesn't work, you change the policy. But I agree with council that it that's how it's done. And as you've rightly said, Chair, that at any time you can bring up any application. You can bring all mine up if you want to discuss them. And I don't think you'll be your colleagues mightn't be happy about that, but thank you.
Can I make a point, please?
Yeah.
Councillor Hughes I know, but she just wants to make a point because I didn't see her comment. Yeah, I just didn't. Her hand was actually up, but she hadn't told me she wanted to speak. Okay. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you. Following on from Councillor Golay, just this last week and currently in my inbox, I've been asked to comment on a development application for an extra driveway outside of the McDonald's coming into Cleveland on that major roundabout. I responded and said I was greatly concerned and I may call that in. My response back from council officers was that that's a state road and they'll have final say, so basically don't bother. So I was quietly concerned about that and going to follow up. So can I seek clarification? If the development applications are state roads, where do we stand there?
it's a different thing. But excuse me, Councillor Golay. Louise is going to just reply to Councillor Hughes, but that's a different matter being state.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. You've correctly stated that any councillor can bring up any matter to council for decision. The officers have delegations that you've provided to them so that they can do the work according to the legislative requirements that, and the timeframes that we have to work within, and some of those timeframes are very, very tight. If there is a matter that a councillor particularly wants to address, they can always raise it with the officers, they can raise it with the group manager, they can escalate it to me as well, and we can help address any of those questions. And I can say councillors around this table do and have raised matters with officers, and we do respond to assist with that understanding. I'm not familiar with the particular details Councillor Hughes is referring to, but I did hear, you know, state involvement. There may be some things that we can't assist with, but if you raise it with us in the first instance, we can do what we can to assist with understanding and explanation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I will be following up as soon as I get back. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes.
Can I just seek clarification on one more thing?
Yes, Councillor Golay.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So I just want to clarify, any councillor can call in any development in any division. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
Who moved that one? Thank you, Lance. I'll return to you.
I almost forgot myself. thank you, Madam Chair. Just in summing, look, we're hearing from two fairly new councillors, Councillor Golay and Councillor Hughes, and it is really frustrating and hard to understand some of the planning decisions that have been made through council over the years. I can empathise with Councillor Golay because it is the biggest issue in our city. Everyone I speak to in my area talk about overdevelopment. They think the area is overdeveloped. They don't like the ultra small lot housing. They're concerned about the social issues that come with it, the lack of road infrastructure, the lack of police, lack of medical centres, lack of schools. It's a massive issue. So I can empathise with Councillor Golay's frustration, and it's all happening down in the southern Redlands, and it's going to get worse. I'm just saying why I'm explaining where Councillor Golay is coming from. And look, I understand this is just really, I have complete faith in the CEO to make very good decisions. I'm happy to move the report and support it. But I just thought I'd explain what councillors are subject to out in the community in regards to planning. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
No.
Okay. Those against?
Me.
Okay. Those in favour, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Boglari. Against is Councillor Golay. Thank you. So we'll move on to now 11.3.4 and Councillor Edwards.
Item 11.3.4, Economic Development Advisory Board update. I move an amended recommendation to the officer's recommendation.
It's not an amended, it's just the motion.
Oh, it is the motion. It's on. Right, yeah, okay, I'll move what's on the board. I didn't realise it was there.
Seconder for that one? You're happy to second that? Thank you. And then we've got a question for Councillor Tolte.
And Hughes.
And Hughes, yep. It's the Economic Development Advisory Board. The change is that we note their report. They had asked for a future 12 months. And I'll just find the one that's in my...
Deputy Mayor, if I can assist you.
Yes, thank you.
There are two papers before Council today. The first one relates to the Economic Development Advisory Board, and it's a board report on the outcome of that board meeting. There are three recommendations in that resolution. Two are for noting, and the third one is to endorse supporting the City for Age. The second paper is in relation to the incentives package, the Cleveland CBD and Tourism Incentives Package, and that's an officer report, again, looking at that particular package. Councillors had requested a review of the package. It was asked of the Economic Development Board to review it. They have reviewed that information, so you'll see the Economic Development Board's paper, and then you'll have your paper to respond to.
And in the original motion, it did have the Economic Development Advisory Board had a recommendation to Council to continue for a further 12 months, which has been taken out. Microphone, thanks, Julie. Councillor Tolte.
Secondly, how can we change this when it relates to the officer's recommendation in the next item, which was a recommendation for 12 months? Surely that's inappropriate also.
There is also another motion for the next one coming up, which has also got the 6 months in it.
But that assumes that will be accepted and passed.
Well, you would have to at least
this one doesn't have the order that they voted on before.
No, this one doesn't have a time frame in it now.
Well, then I would argue that it sits in opposition to the next motion. They clash.
If you read the email, it doesn't clash now. Don't, it doesn't clash because there's no time frame in this one.
In which case, this one supports the 12 months.
No, it just supports that the package continues. Councillor Elliott, then Councillor Bishop.
I'm like Councillor Telty, I know you can change the next one. There's been talk about the second one, but this one, well, why did the officer change this? I haven't seen any circulation of this.
Yep, an email was sent out this morning, admittedly very late. But if you look at your original motion, it has got in number two that the accommodation incentives package is up for 12 months. So that amount, that time frame, has been taken out.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Council can make a decision up to 12 months, and then council, that's only a recommendation. Council can accept that, go to the next one, and then say, no, we don't agree. It's 6 months, as far as I find it. Why we needed to change that. That's all I'm arguing. The point is why we needed to change that. We didn't have to change it.
Louise?
In fact, we should have changed it.
That's
wrong.
If somebody wants to move...
It was on recommendation that this one got changed as well, just to bring them both into line, that was all.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, the paper does actually state under the Advisory Board recommendations... the advisory board recommended that the incentive schemes be extended for 6 to 12 months until industry sector strategies and action plans have been finalised to provide an opportunity to align with the business needs and potential benefits. The initial consideration we're looking at was certainly 12 months, but I think if you look at the resolution, it's to note the report and to note the recommendation of the Economic Development Advisory Board. So that time frame, I think, is up for council consideration. I do note what the councillors are saying in relation to if the board has said 12 months, but the paper does actually say 6 to 12 months. Officer preference would obviously be for 12 months so that we can give the best options for council for consideration and also take into account the significant work that would need to occur that we'll be discussing at the next paper. But I'm comfortable with that approach, unless governance has any other views.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, regardless of the report, whatever's moved and seconded, that becomes the motion that you consider today, and you can make a decision on that however you see fit. And if you want to amend a moved and seconded motion, we can just go through the process to amend that as well. So.
Oh, it's at a new point. Yep.
If that's the case, then I don't mind if you brought it here and an officer said we want to change it, and we agree to that. The mover can agree to it. But to change it, And 9:15, I think everybody's scurrying to get here or doing something else. I don't think that's a good look. I'm just saying, you know, it's news to me. I'm not supporting the package in the next one, but I just find that if you brought it here and said, yes, we want to change this, council would then know, as a collective, what's going. But if we're changing it, then, oh, it was a 9:15 email. I don't accept that.
It was discussed yesterday. I just didn't get the formalised wording until then. Councillor Bishop, then Councillor Tolte.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate the report suggesting between 6 months to 12 months. Having been through the balance of the consultant's report looking at the assessment of the success of the Cleveland business district update and the tourism incentive scheme, I think it is very worth our while to consider the updates that will come from the various tourism, various strategies, and I think it's important that we do have a time frame that keeps us moving so that we are in line with the Economic Development Advisory Board's views. I'm sorry, Councillor Tolte, have you got a question you'd like to ask?
A point of order.
Councillor Elliott has called a point of order. Excuse me, Councillor Tolte. Councillor Elliott has called a point of order. What is your point of order?
I know we had a little natter about the first thing, but I think somebody needs to move and second it if we're going to move ahead. Well, who moved it? You did move it. Okay. Okay, I was just commenting on the thing.
Okay, so Councillor Bishop, can you please continue? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So I support this happening. I do have a question, though, more broadly about the report rather than the specifically about the motion, but I can take that off and I can wait for a moment while we consider this.
Councillor Tolte.
The second part of my question was, why was it changed and who changed it?
It was changed after we had the presentation from the... Were you present yesterday? We had
yes,
a presentation.
Yes, I was present, and there was no discussion that I was aware of that we were changing this motion. It just came in an email at 9:15 from one person saying it had been changed, and I'm not aware that other councillors supported the change or even why it was changed, other than the discussion that's just taken place right now.
No, there was not a secret meeting. Thank you, Councillor Gleeson. There was various conversations after the meeting yesterday between various individuals, no actual meeting. And I have discussed this with the Mayor, who is away at the moment, and in the process of trying to get this actual package to be able to continue for the benefit of our city, it was thought if we reduced it to a 6 month, more councillors might have been, happy with it to continue as it was.
Well, then I would like the motion for 12 months put up first, and if that's unsuccessful, then the 6 months put up second, please.
Too late, Councillor Tolte. If this one gets voted down, it will go up.
This is not the motion. That's the next one. This one just is a general motion.
Okay, so we'll get this one. Is there any other comments on this one? We'll get this one through.
Could I just make a quick comment?
Oh, hang on.
And I have questions.
Okay, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hughes.
Thanks, Chair. Look, I'll be supporting the next motion. I don't agree with the CBD incentive program. I've voted against it every time. However, I do agree with the tourism incentive, business incentive programs, anything like that. And I'm keen to see it come back to council and be refined and improved on. I'll be supporting the next motion because there's a time frame. I will not be supporting this because the time frame has been removed at the last minute and has been discussed about from other people. I don't understand why it's been removed.
The time frame still is in the report, and as we're noting the report.
Chair,
well, I'm happy to have the...
If you would like
to move an amendment to the report, Councillor Gleeson,
and have that
and in
it. It's been removed. It's been brought to us as a different... recommendation to what we've got in our agendas.
Yeah.
And it's been changed at the last minute.
Councillor Gleeson, I just Getting advice from General Manager of Governance, but if you'd like to move an amendment to put that time frame in it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So as I understand it, we have a mover and seconder for the motion, which is on the board. If someone wants to propose an amendment to that motion, they could propose an amendment to that motion. They would need that to be seconded, but then you would need to vote on that amendment. It either is successful or unsuccessful, and we either go back to the start or we have a new resolution. So it is possible for a councillor to move an amendment to that to add a time frame in if that was what you wanted to do.
Councillor Gleeson, did you want to do that, move an amendment to that motion with that time frame on it?
Yes, I would, please, Chair. I'd like to move an amendment with the 12-month time frame back on it.
The original motion.
Please, the original motion.
So, Councillor, you'd all have that in front of you on your report. Councillor Gleeson has moved that. And that is just to note that the Economic Development Board recommendation was for continuing it up to 12 months. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Tolte. Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Tolte. All in favour of that motion, the amendment to the motion? It doesn't matter. It's only noting the report. It's not a. It was. No, it has not. Thank you.
Point of order.
Can you please retract that statement? This actual motion was only changed on an officer recommendation when we were talking about the other one. So those in favour, I'll just call it again, sorry.
Order.
Yep. The amendment.
And you asked Councillor Gleeson to withdraw that retraction and he wouldn't do it, so what's the result of that?
All right. So, yes, Councillor Gleeson, I've asked that you retract that statement, thank you.
Retracted, Chair.
Thank you. Now, for Councillor Golay and Councillor Hewlett, the amendment takes it back to the original motion in the report. Those in favour? Sorry. Councillor Bishop?
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we are about to vote on the motion, I have... Are we about to vote? Thank you.
And sorry, Louise, you're talking about...
If we could have one of our officers just make a comment before the vote, if that's okay, just for clarification.
Yes, thank you. Please come forward, Kim.
Thank you, Madam Acting Chair. I did just want the opportunity to speak to the draft motion as it was in the report. And as you've correctly noted, the body of the report refers to the board's support for continuing the incentive package for 6 to 12 months while a more targeted incentives package is worked up. Therefore, the wording in the recommendation to council was purposefully broad, to say note the board recommendation to council for up to 12 months until the package is reframed. So that gives council scope in the next item to bring in a time frame. That the board's recommendation wasn't specific, but it recognised that there was a need for that work to take place. It was very important that there's a more targeted incentives program in place now that we have outcomes coming through from the industry sector action plans. And the wording as it stands in the report, in the agenda, I believe appropriately allows for council's decision on the next agenda item to select an appropriate time frame, because this is noting the board's recommendation for a period of up to 12 months, and they were using the language 6 to 12 months, so it's entirely consistent with the discussion that councillors are having. And I won't sort of comment on whether it's the amended motion or the original, it's the original recommendation, and I'm happy to take questions if there's any further clarification that councillors may be seeking on that.
I'll just ask Councillor Golay and Councillor Hughes, because it's a bit hard to know whether they want to speak or not, or ask questions. Councillor Golay, did you have questions?
Just a couple of things. Thanks, Madam Chair. So first of all, I attended the entire Economic Development Board meeting held last, and the consultant who came in to actually address the board suggested that the CBD incentive package was pretty much a reactionary approach, that it had run its race and that it needs to be reviewed. One of the most important things was the fact that there was no direct strategy around the CBD incentive package, and that it was only suggested that if you wanted to let it run for a further 12 months until a new body of work was conducted, combining new policy and new strategy, then that's what was suggested. Nothing was hard and fast, and I've spoken with the Mayor this morning, not based on any email I received, but actually the Mayor had approached me and said, oh, there's an amendment to the time frame. It's 6 months. I'm happy with that. We've just got to get the new body of work done. That was her words and her position. So there's nothing underhanded. All it is a time frame being set to look at a new policy and a new strategy, and it's based on the external consultant who advised the Economic Development Board, who then has been a report drafted to us. So I think it's run its race so far. We need 6 months to conduct new work. Let's just get on with it and move forward.
Thank you. Councillor Hughes, do you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I do. I'll comment first. Obviously, it's very difficult just on my phone following the what's on the board. I know that there was an email. I don't have it in front of me. I just have my phone in a corner, obviously at conference. So I'm just a little lost on that. I support Councillor Gleeson. In his comment, I do not support the Cleveland CBD economic, do not support the Cleveland CBD incentives package, and I am greatly concerned. I do not want it to kick out to 12 months. I want it brought back to 6 months so that we can address this in a timely manner. I also, with the officer's recommendation and point three, endorse the City for Age incentive. I want to go back to my questions because I don't know anything about this at all, and I have some questions on the report. So where we're actually up to in this, I'm a little lost. Are you asking me to support?
No, I was just asking if you needed any clarification. Okay, so at the moment we've got a motion. There was a motion that had no time frame in it, and Councillor Gleeson has moved an amendment to that motion to go back to the original motion that had up to 12 months, which means we can stop it at any stage or make changes to it to improve it at any stage anyway.
Which is coming in the following motion.
Which is...
In the following report.
Yeah, it can still be 6 months. 6 months was just trying to get a... having no time frame there was just trying to be a bit more efficient, I guess. But it's now back to the original motion, which really doesn't make any difference because we're just noting the report.
The amended motion had a six-month timeline in it, did it?
No, it just had no time frame, but in the report it says 6 to 12 months.
So
it's just basically to note the report. It's no direction given to council by this motion. It's just noting the Economic Development Board's report.
Okay, happy to note, but certainly not happy to kick out the 12 months.
Yep. Thank you.
And then when we come back to questions, I know Councillor Bishop has questions, and then I've got questions because obviously I missed yesterday's briefing.
Yes, and I've also got an officer in the room to speak to the City for Age when we get to that part. Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Councillor Elliott?
Point of order, Deputy Chair. We've had a... What's the vote? The vote's just been taken, and I don't know where we are. Probably these people are well back in the bus.
We have not voted on the amendment as yet.
We voted on the amendment.
I didn't hear. Did we get Councillor Golly? We haven't recorded Councillor Golly and Councillor Hughes's.
Yeah, I know. We got lost.
All we got is a mover and a seconder recorded for the motion on the amendment.
No, we've had a vote. We had a vote and we were asking.
Well, it hasn't been recorded.
Because we're waiting for
Sorry. Well, we sought clarification for those on the phone. It does make it a bit difficult. So those in favour of the amendment which takes it back to the original motion. Can I just ask you to put your hands up again so the people at the end of the phone can be included in the recording? Yeah, but those at the end of the phone weren't included. Thank you, Councillor Gleeson. I'm being asked by the officers, as it hasn't been recorded, if you could please vote again on the amendment. It just takes it back to the original motion of noting what the Economic Development Board has said. Those in favour are Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Mitchell. Councillor Golly.
I do not support Councillor Gleeson's amendment.
Okay. And Councillor Hughes?
No.
Okay. Okay, so that's four in favour. Those against? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett. And Councillor Golly and Councillor Hughes and Councillor Boglari are against. So we're back to the motion which is on the board, which reads, it's for those on the other end of the phone. It's basically the same without the note the Economic Development Board recommendation to Council to consider continuing the Cleveland CBD and Tourism Accommodation and Centres package until the package is reframed to form a more targeted incentives program that aligns with priorities emerging from industry sector strategies and action plans. So, sorry, they've got it.
I'm in favour of that.
Okay, so we've got that. So now there were questions onto the report. Councillor Bishop and then Councillor Hughes, I think you had questions.
Yes, I have quite a few.
Okay, thank you. Just let Councillor Bishop go first and then you. Thank you.
If I can just... thank you very much. I'll try to keep mine brief. At the outset, I didn't support the Economic Development Advisory Board. The Council did, and so I totally support the work that is being done, and there are great people and great minds at work there, so very much support the good work to come from that. I think it's important for councillors to note that the Economic Development Advisory Board is not in charge of decision-making. They are a reference board, and I think it's important that we are the ones who are entrusted with decision making, and I endorse the view that we encourage a proactive review of the policy or of the incentives package for both tourism and the CBD and question some of those things, and I think we need to do that soon, which is why I am supporting the motion without a time frame on this, because I anticipate that in the next I will support a shorter time frame as proposed in this report. I'd just like to make a general view that I think that when the Economic Development Advisory Board seeks reports to be done, that they are provided to councillors specifically at the same time as they're provided to the Economic Development Advisory Board. Could I please ask through you, Madam Mayor, to the CEO that that happens in future, just so that we have got full access to those reports and that councillors, should they choose to, have discussions about that, whether or not they attend those meetings, can have those, obviously noting confidentiality and so forth, but I just think that's an important part of our ultimate decision-making in regards to economic development, and very much support the things that are being done in that space. Thank you.
Louise, I think, is going to answer that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, and thank you, Councillor, for raising that question. I'd just like to remind all councillors that all councillors are invited to the Economic Development Advisory Board meetings, and all councillors have access to all papers and information that is provided to the Economic Development Advisory Board, including prior to the meeting, so you have time to review and question. In particular, what we were wanting for this matter was to get an assessment by the Economic Development Advisory Board as requested by Council, to then bring that back for Council's consideration. But very happy for all of that information to be available and accessible to all councillors. And just a plug, I'd strongly encourage you all to come along to the Economic Development Advisory Board meetings, because they're quite exceptionally good.
Thank you. Councillor Hughes.
Okay, please bear with me. On the second page 24 of the report. Going down to the bottom of point, a summary of presentations is provided below. Point 1, point 2 is down the bottom. It refers to the NBN. And it says, council officers will explore the options further before making any final recommendations. And that's regarding the NBN. So please note, when you turn the page over to page 20, advisory board recommendations, the bottom of the second paragraph, they have also endorsed a meeting between telecommunications service provider and Redland City Council to be held prior to the next advisory board meeting, which is scheduled to take place on the 24th of August. So I'm just seeking clarification on that. It seems to be contradictory or in support of. Who are they talking about here?
I think Louise has an answer there. Oh, Frank does too, of you. Come on down, Frank.
I'll give Frank a go.
Okay. You want to sit over next to Peter? Councillor Mitchell, sorry.
Well, Deputy Mayor, while Frank is coming to the table, look, it's not uncommon for officers to need to do a parcel of work, and that can involve meetings, it can involve discussions, it can involve a range of activities to help us be able to put together information to go back to Council or back to the Economic Development Advisory Board. So I don't see these issues as being inconsistent, I just see it as part of the good due diligence of officers to do their work. But I'll refer to our expert and give Nisa sitting at the table.
Excuse me, Councillor Hughes. Frank has an answer for you as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hughes. What Louisa said is absolutely correct. The meetings that were referred to are exploratory meetings with a range of providers to see what options. They're not actually meetings where we'd be making any decisions, but they just seem to us, as was indicated, that there are some easier than others potential opportunities that we need to explore. So those meetings referred to exploratory, and to see if some leverage can be gained or some action taken based on those meetings.
Thank you, Frank. In response to that, when you have done that exploratory work and it's reported to the advisory board at their next meeting, when are councillors going to be updated on that, thanks?
Yeah, on the decision of who the supplier is.
Louise.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. That information, councillors can ask at any stage for any information that we're working on, and we do frequent workshops with councillors so that there are praised of information. So if councillors are feeling there's something in particular they'd like to cover off in either a briefing note, an email or a workshop, we can always do that. As I mentioned before, all information that goes to the Economic Development Advisory Board for their board meetings is sent to all councillors. So councillors will be appraised of that information, and as Councillor Bishop rightly said, the Economic Development Advisory Board has no decision-making powers. Those powers remain with council for any decisions that are required to be made. The board can put forward recommendations for council for consideration, they can endorse a certain approach, but it is council who are the decision makers.
I thank you very, very much, Frank and Louise, because as noted in the report, this is of critical importance to our city with our businesses in mind with this NBN and our telecommunications. So thank you for that. I'll be monitoring that one really closely. Number point three on the same page 24 at the bottom is innovation. And in the second line, Redland City Council taking over from RDA Logan. What does that mean, thanks?
Thank you, Frank.
The Advanced Queensland Regional Innovation Program.
So, Councillor, I can answer that question. It's Frank Pearce. So initially there was a consortium of players that were applying for that Advanced Queensland Regional Innovation Program funding, and it was just easiest at the time, well, not easiest, but the best option at the time that the RDA, Logan and Redlands would be the lead party. They're a neutral party. They could bring the people together. Late in that bid, it was decided that given the uncertainty, there was some uncertainty about the future of RDA, Logan and Redlands, and because of that, they didn't feel like they could carry through on being the lead partner. Council then was the largest partner left. Griffith University couldn't be the partner because they were the lead partner in another funding application on the Gold Coast, so it basically left council as the appropriate body to be the lead partner in that application.
Okay, supplementary to that, Frank, thank you very much. At the bottom, at the top of page 26, at the bottom of this report on innovation, the commercial cash partnership funding is still being sourced and the advisory board assistance is being sought. The next step is a presentation to the assessment panel scheduled on the 8th of June. Who was the assessment panel and where was that done? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. The assessment panel was a group of industry specialists that were assembled by the CD, Department of Science, Innovation, Technology, and so that was done covering across a range of areas in the Advanced Queensland package. That was done, as was said, on the 8th, and it was done as a combination of Logan City Council, ourselves and Griffith University.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving down to the Gen 30, our Youth Innovation Summit, I noticed that we had a focus group of, with Sheldon College and Victoria Point State High School. And I just question why only two high schools when we have so many? I know we probably couldn't have done all of them, but it just seems very selective, just the two.
Thanks, Councillor. That was based on what was available, so we tried a whole lot of different schools in the time frame that we had, and they were the two schools that responded favourably in that time frame. So we weren't intending to be exclusive in any way. We were just running with what we could get, and as you would be aware, it's really hard to get extra things into curriculum at late notice, so that was good that we were able to do those two.
Okey-dokes. Thank you, Frank, for that. I just lost a little bit in the end, but I think I've got the most of it. Following on down, from the question of the focus groups coming down, you've got dot points, and then at the sentence is the priority issues raised during the forum with regard to progressing innovation-related initiatives and the short-term actions that council can undertake to address these included. I'm just asking, how are we undertaking these notes that are included, and what practical support are we doing?
Okay, so we've recently recontacted all the participants from that forum, just giving them the summary of what was accomplished and just inviting their further participation. And so the items that are listed there that we are working on, we're also simultaneously trying to build our connections with the schools, because as you'll see, schools play a crucial role in that place. So we've been going out talking to schools, joining with a number of schools around some STEM innovation programs. So I suppose in short, we've recontacted the participants, we're working with schools, and we're waiting on the outcomes of this Advanced Queensland regional program, because if that funding bit is successful, that actually enables us to accomplish some of those things that we said we would do.
Okay, thank you. If we could turn the page on that report to page 26, I'm almost there. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thank you for giving me the latitude. I'm sorry that these questions weren't asked earlier. On point four, industry sector strategies and action plan, coming down to the second paragraph, a report to Council on the final healthcare and social assistance, and it says will be presented at a future general meeting. What sort of timeline is that, Frank? Are we looking at a shorter timeline, or is this going to take a long time?
Kim's got the answer for you on that one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Councillor Hughes. The timeframes for that are the education and training industry strategy and action plan has been completed, so that's now in a position to advance that to a council general meeting. And we're working through with the consultants just very final comments following the workshop with councillors on the health and social services industry strategy and action plan. So again, we see that within the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay, thank you very much. And then the smart cities, I think, Wendy, Deputy Mayor, you mentioned that we're going to have a presentation on smart cities or City for Age.
Yes, I've got Frank to talk about in the room to talk for City for Age, or I forgot.
Okay.
James, I remembered O'Reilly. I just remembered James, sorry. James, would you like to join us, please? James O'Reilly is coming to answer that one. Thank you.
Okay, because at the very page 27, the very last sentence, the advisory board further endorsed the Age for City initiative but did not support funding contribution from council.
Right.
So I'm presuming we've been asked for some funding and we've or could be asked for some funding but not recommended that we do.
Yes, well, James is here now to go through what it actually is and what implications there are, I guess.
Thanks very much for your question, Councillor. It is definitely just in-kind support. I might take a step back and just say where the Age for Cities or Cities for Age program started, and that was through the Advanced Queensland Age-Friendly Community Grants. So we're only a partner supporting this bid with Community Resourcing Logan and RDA Redlands. The intent of this bid specifically is focused around improving social isolation through transport mobility, specifically in the community sector. This partnering through Anglicare Fleet Services, QUT Intelligent Transport Systems, Transit Care, and several other providers will be collating their metadata to be used for studies to support increase in service delivery. So these services are generally provided by the community sector through piecemeal. If they can do it through a collaborative service delivery, it'll be far more efficient. Community transport funded through NDIS and CHSP, as mentioned, coordinated through NGOs, will overlap, duplicate and waste. So the study is to look at this transport efficiency of those services. That's through the Advancing Queensland side of things. The second part of the Age for Cities grant will be through the Smart Cities application, which is due on the 30th of June. It's extending on the earlier part of the bid, again with the transport services, but further looking into the applicability of the services that are being run through test cities, including Athens, Montpellier, Singapore, City of Birmingham as well in the UK, looking at reducing the social isolation in elderly people, supporting ageing in-house, early intervention health issues, and tracking the health and cognitive skills of elders. So this is of significant interest to council given our ageing demographic. Again,
absolutely. Thank you.
Again, it's just in-kind support, Councillor.
Really appreciate that update. That was brilliantly spoken. Thank you.
Any more, Councillor Hughes?
No, I'll leave it at that. Thank you. I almost again apologise for the time.
No, you're fine. That's
Madam
all.
Chair, could I just ask a quick question?
I'll put you in the queue. There's Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Bishop, and then yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'd just like to know, a lot of the detail that's been presented through Councillor Hughes' questions, that's great. What I wanted to say was, this is the report from the sixth meeting of the Economic Development Advisory Board, and I think we can see the momentum's building. I think it's great. This is a group that has stimulated a lot of information and activity. Council are responding, officers are responding. We weren't sure where the journey was going when we started, and I think even this meeting and this report and the questions from it show that there's some tremendous amount of activity in place, and that's maturing all the time. So I think it's just wonderful to note how many actions there are, how clearly the officers can tell us what is going on. It's a work of art in progress, but it's exciting times ahead. There's a number of action items or agenda items noted in the report, including city internet connectivity, including industry sector strategies and action plans, the city branding, and including the CBD and tourism incentives package, which we'll get another chance to comment on in the next item. So, this is where the rubber hits the road. I'm just pleased to see action and bring it back to the report. I think it's a good thing, and great group, and wonderful actions occurring.
Thank you. Councillor Bishop, you had a question to the report?
Yes, indeed. Originally, I expressed concern about the establishment of the Economic Development Advisory Board and the various sectoral reports. I have my own thoughts and concerns about local government stepping into a space managing or overseeing the direction of a sector and the way they should go. Council has supported that. What I'd like to ask for, not necessarily now because we've taken time today, but I would like us to have an assessment, because I'd like to note what Councillor Mitchell has just mentioned, that there is a lot of action, but I'm increasingly concerned about the potential for those actions to require resources from our officers going down paths to do things that get momentum going, but that may or may not be the most effective utilisation of our current officers' capacities, and they may or may not be actually delivering the sort of outcomes that are best managed by officers. I'd like there to be some... I don't want to take time now. I don't expect an answer for that now, but I am concerned about some of the issues. I want to thank very much Councillor Hughes for those astute questions. This is an important discussion, and this is where Council gets to review the important deliberations and considerations from the Economic Development Advisory Board, who are incredibly astute people, and I think our asking questions is very important. I'd like to ask some questions about what the impact is on the resourcing down the track of our officers in relation to taking on the Regional Development Australia grant and that particular study. I'd like to ask some further questions about whether the age the City for Age process is the intended body of work that's looking at what I would like again to think is going to be a holistic strategy looking at aged and disability and various needs in our community, particularly the people who are not necessarily of working age, young and old people in our city, and I want to make sure that we have a strategy that looks at the ageing well in the Redlands strategy that has since lapsed, and I want to make sure going forward that we are looking broadly, not just at the smart technology, not just at the transport stuff, but at engaging our community, ensuring that we have feedback loops about what their needs are, and I want to make sure that our officers within our community development team specifically are resourced to be able to do the work that has always been there, will be there in future, and I don't want us to all be going down in a particular direction supporting the Economic Development Advisory Board's work if it's going to require extra resourcing that we're not necessarily aware of. That's my thoughts, concerns, and I'll raise them further offline later.
You didn't want an officer to reply now?
If officers feel as though they have a response, that's fair enough, but these are part of ongoing questions that I've been asking and I will continue to ask them. I don't expect that to be dealt with in this forum. We've taken enough time today. Thank you.
The CEO has said we'll take it offline. So if there's no further questions or discussion, we'll go back to the... Oh, sorry, Councillor Golly, you are on my list. My apologies.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just refer back to one of our Councillor Hughes' questions. And I'd like an answer, if I may, in relation to the provision of a telco and exactly what decisions are being made around that. I ask this because the Economic Advisory Board is exactly that. It's an advisory board, and it's based on the feedback provided to that board from officers and external consultants in order to create action items. So I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket on the Economic Advisory Board and hold them to account. What I'd like to know is, in relation to the telco, internet connectivity strategy, etc., have we already decided, without council's knowledge, on a telco provider to provide that service? And if not, when are councillors, as the directors of the organisation, going to be advised on the processes of that? Because that's a fairly large contract, and there's a lot of work in that. And I don't believe it should just be done under some delegated authority. It should be back to us.
Councillor Golly, I think Frank might have an answer, but Louise did say before and stressed that the Economic Advisory Board is exactly A for advisory, and that any decision will be brought back to council, and it is council who makes the decisions, not these boards. Frank, have you got any time frame?
Madam Chair, but the statement was also made, oh, councillors can ask officers anything any time. Well, I'm asking, has there been a telco already chosen?
Yes, and I'm referring it to I'm referring it to Frank now.
And I'd like that brought back to council on the provisions of how they're going to select that telco.
Frank, do you know when it is going to be brought back to council? Thank you.
So thanks, Councillor Golay. Look, we're working towards that next Economic Development Advisory Board meeting to bring some options back to that, as was requested. But can I just reassure you that, first of all, no provider has been locked in provided. We're looking at a whole range of options, from some small improvements to some larger options in that space, to trying to get NBN to step up to the plate. So we haven't actually... said this is the solution. We're actually canvassing a whole range of solutions, some that are zero cost through to some that may bear some cost that we would hope that we could recover through the people that we provide the services to. So just for your comfort, no, we haven't locked any in, and yes, we're continuing a range of discussions with a range of providers in that space.
Excellent, thank you.
Wait a minute, Councillor Golay. Kim has all. You just can't see. Sorry, Kim has also got further information for you.
Oh, sorry, Kim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did want to just draw Councillor's attention to the terms of reference for the Economic Development Advisory Board, which does require the board to give recommendations to Council, and then that's their role. They step back. What they are doing is highlighting how critical that capacity is to underpinning our economic growth. The second point is that, having taken that recommendation from the board, council did actually resolve, pass a resolution to progress this, and information management has been working on it since then. Where our group's come in is actually been surveying firms to get a ground truth what the impact of that low capacity is on their ability to grow their business or indeed remain in the Redlands, because we got that information through from the University of Queensland survey that's one of the key reasons why businesses either leave the city or choose not to set up here. So council certainly has recognised how critical this infrastructure is going forward. That is a council decision. We are implementing, actioning a council decision, and if we take something back through the board, it's simply to frame and be able to present to council recommendations that also have a position taken forward from the board, because that's the role that we've given them. That council makes the decisions, and some of this work fits in the business as usual space for our information management area of council. As I say, going forward, decisions will be made in the appropriate way, not by the board, and there is a requirement also in the terms of reference for an annual report to come to council, so we'll be able to give a full account of the business that's been transacted by the board in the last 12 months, and then that will come to council following the next board meeting.
Councillor Golay, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I heard part of it, Madam Chair. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, I definitely haven't got anyone else on my list, so I'll pass back to Mark to put the motion.
I'm still awake. I'd just like to clarify that I was asked to present this today, councillors, and I was under the impression that everyone had been patched into what was happening. But no, I've got nothing further to add, and I'll take the vote.
Okay, all in favour?
Aye.
Okay, those against? Right, all in favour again? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Boglari, those against? Councillor Gleeson. Now we'll move on. Sorry. We'll move on to 11.3.5.
Thank you. Nervous to present this one too.
Yeah.
Item 11.
It's all good.
You're the man.
Item 11.3.5, Cleveland CBD Tourism Accommodation Incentive Package. I move the officer's recommendation. It's on the board.
As on the board. Moves the motion as on the board.
I'll delete the officer's motion as on the board.
Thank you. Happy to second that, Councillor Bishop? You'll third it? Okay, well, thank you, Paul. Councillor Golay and Councillor Hughes, did you want me to read the only change from the...
Motion takes out the 12 months and brings it back to 6 months.
That's correct.
Okay, happy to support.
And it's got a firm date in it, the 15th of December, which so officers knew 6 months wasn't this week or last week. It actually has a date in it. That was all. Are there questions to?
Sorry. I have a question. Yes.
Thank you. I'll put you on the list. Sorry, Councillor Edwards. All right, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Edwards.
I propose an amendment to the motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Sorry, Councillor Edwards, you hadn't talked to it. Sorry, I was trying to get those on the end of the phone up to speed first. Sorry, back to Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. Council introduced the Cleveland CBD incentive package in February 2013, and it was a vehicle to stimulate economic activity and bring about projects which would provide greater dynamics to the CBD. In July 2014, the Tourism Accommodation Incentive Package was introduced to stimulate construction of tourist accommodation outside the CBD incentives package. Both packages draw from the same funding allocation. The CBD incentives package was extended in July 2015 with an expiry date of the 30th of June 2017, which means that it concludes alongside the tourist accommodation incentive package, and that brings us to today's reports. Now, I know there's divergence of opinion amongst councillors as to the effectiveness and the outcomes of these packages. However, I believe that in an economic incentive package are critical for all local governments to shape the type of economic growth they want and where that growth takes place within their cities. Whilst the market will always be the final arbiter of investment, incentives, if properly shaped and well promoted, will bring about the type of investment sought by councils. There is a difference of opinion as to whether our incentive packages have delivered the optimal outcomes that we envisaged when we first adopted them. However, I'm not going to labour on any opportunities or won or lost or what could have been better. I am keen to seek incentive packages continue. However, confining the continuance of these packages to 6 months is going to allow us time to define a sharper and more targeted focus. There will be argument today most likely to say let's just stop it and wait till we've got a better targeted focus. However, in my mind, that probably sends the wrong messages out to those people who would like to entice that we've actually gone to the opposite position and we're not interested. I'd rather see the continuation of what we've got, at least in the meantime, to at least continue the signals that we're interested in economic development in our city. And I hope that that body of work comes back to us in these timeframes and we have a more targeted and focused package that we're all happy to adopt. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Tolte, then Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Look, I support this. I support the recommendation. I do not understand why everybody wants to quibble over between 6 and 12 months. That could have stayed and simply said up to 12 months, matching the previous motion, and it would have achieved exactly the same thing. I'll withdraw my proposition to change the motion because it's pointless, and I'll support it.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, and Councillor Gleeson. Sorry, I didn't know whether Councillor Hughes still was trying to seek clarification. Okay, that was a speaker for the motion then. So against the motion. We've moved into formal, Councillor Hughes. I was trying to allow some latitude with, in case you were still seeking clarification, but we've moved into formal. So is there...
I just have a question. So is that appropriate in the formal?
We'll have to call... Okay. Is the council happy to move into informal, or do you want to continue in? Okay, we're saying informal. Sorry, Councillor Hughes, you'll have to wait to the end of the formal debate. And Councillor against, do you have your hand up, Councillor Elliott? Yep.
Thanks, Chair. I think we've got given it a good shot, but I think it's a bit like the Monty Python, the dead parrot one. It's dead. It is not resting. It's had it. I've supported this to start with, and as Councillor Edwards alluded to, it's had started in July 2014. Correct if I'm wrong, anybody. Went to 15, got a resurgence, 16, it's now 17. Now here talk, well, we'll have another 12 months. I don't have a problem if people are building things. I've got a report here, and it says, these are all the things you was applicable, CBD and the tourism scene. Doesn't tell me which ones were built. Somebody can show me in this report which ones were actually built. It's all right to give somebody, and I don't mind, we wouldn't mind if it did do incentive, but I'm not seeing anything on the infrastructure, so nobody started. I know the Alex Hills Hotel did their one and declared the other night at the opening that it did bring the thing forward, so... they were still going to do it. I'd like to tell... Can somebody run through these, this one, and tell me which ones were built? Because this report is a waste of space. It tells me nothing. It tells me, yes, we got this, that we gave this money in, you know...
There is an officer who will answer that.
Sure, fine.
Sure. Councillor, thank you for the question. And I think the program does... need some scrutiny. It was put in place at certain times. And
sorry, Byrne, could officers just announce their name when speaking for those on the other end of the telephone line?
Okay, Byrne Neubauer, Principal Advisor, Strategic Economic Development. Thank you for the question, Councillor. I understand the need to scrutinise and to review progress thus far. The I guess the larger element of the incentive package is the infrastructure charges exemption or waiver. That is only eligible to any project that completes. So that could take 2 years. In the case of Alex Hills Hotel, it could take 3 years, it could take 4 years. The first stage of the incentive is to actually put applications in front of council. And there were 22 applications that came in front of council. The overwhelming view of the consultants was that a big chunk of those applications would have not come in front of council without an incentive element to them. It's also important to note that this is not direct expenditure from a council perspective. This is an opportunity cost. Could it have happened? Could it have not happened? The overwhelming feedback that we've received, both through the consultants and our own interviews, is that this has accelerated our opportunity to market ourselves as part of a wider package of investment attraction strategies.
My question was, how many have been built?
Three.
Three.
Yep.
Thank you. Are they in the CBD? Or are they in the tourism package? See, you give me this, and it doesn't tell me that. Looks great. You know, public thinks, oh, 22 projects, this is working. Let's really drill down. And the ones I've seen, the Alex Hills Hotel, we know that's done. Jovica built down outside the thing here. I don't think they got any. It's just normal accommodation. They built a 60, 70 units thing that was launched on last Friday night. I'm not seeing the worthwhile, you know, like, I can't see the worthwhile in it. We've given it a good run, you know. It's not working. We've got a couple up. Obviously, we're not allowed to tell anybody who it is, though it's in lieu of it's residents' money we're actually using to do these. All I can see is, in doing the DAs, all we're doing is enhancing somebody's block of land. It's got a development approval on it. I've got this thing. That's good. I don't see that as an incentive. I want you to build it. And you could virtually say here, less than 10 jobs. It was all about jobs and things like that. I'm not seeing it. Tell me where this is all happening. I'm not seeing it. Well, Councillor, you're well to have your turn, but I'm asking the question.
Okay, Ben's got another
just
reply.
A quick response to that. The feedback we got is right on the money there in terms of the incentive being more closely aligned to when construction starts, not just when construction is completed. So I guess this recommendation is that we consider all that feedback, we consider the positives and the negatives, what have we learnt, and one of them is actually incentivising organisations to start construction within a certain date and finish it within a certain date. So those refinements would certainly be considered going forward.
Fine if you want to do that, but I'm just not, you know, to give it another 12 months, like, it hasn't worked. That's what the code I'm getting out of the report. It hasn't worked. You need to reprioritise this more strategic. Yeah, fine. Well, you don't throw good money after bad. If you are, you're a fool, and I think you stop it, and I'm not going to run around in a bit of decreasing circles. This is terrible. You stop it. You've got the lead on you to bring up a new strategy. Otherwise, it's not priority. It just looks good and it's flipping another glossy brochure. Stop it. Move on. Get your strategy play. Come back in and see if we can make it fly. But I'm not seeing from these things that it's doing any more than giving DAs out. And we've had a couple got up that may have been built anyway. And I'm seeing more action out of people who aren't involved in tourism and are outside the CBD. So they're missing out and doing the right thing. At Alexandra Hill Shopping Centre, the centre
build a $3.5 million childcare centre. Not aware they got a cut. That was just a business investment, you know. So I think we put disenfranchised investors in the city. The biggest investors in the city are probably going to be mum and dad businesses who pay their DAs at the counter, don't want any more than get them done quick, sure, and get them signed up. So,
okay, thank you, thank you, Councillor Elliott. Speaker 4. Sorry, Councillor Mitchell had his hand up previously.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Absolutely for, and I'm not sure where Councillor Elliott's getting his facts from on this, because the reports to us from the consultants and from our own officers is, if we look back at what's been done with the CBD incentive and tourism accommodation packages, if we're being generous, it's up to 150 to 1 times multiplier on the investment. If we're being extraordinarily conservative, it's still 15 to 1, is what we're told, based on a 1 in 10 projects ever moving forward to completion. We're already ahead of that, and they've been significant projects. So if we look back, whatever the intention and whatever we thought might happen, it's worked. It may not have worked exactly how it was intended, but terrific. Let's all applaud. It's absolutely been shown to have worked based on external advice and internal advice. So I'm not sure where the criticism is. And if it's an ideological criticism, that's okay. But then moving forward, absolutely it's been identified that from here it needs to be reviewed, needs to be much more strategic and targeted. Look for those other areas that outside CBDs, look for industry sectors. The journey from here is what the next 6 or 12 months is about, trying to keep, you know, we've got the car rolling forward. Why would we want to slam the brakes on now where we are all agreed by the sounds, even with your comments, Councillor Elliott, that this needs to be targeted more appropriately? That's exactly what we're getting told now. It's worked. Let's not stand on our laurels. We need to modernise. We need to change. We need to strategise. Terrific. Let's move ahead. But, 15 to 1 is a pretty good result for any investment. 150 to 1 is even better. So if the most negative is 15 to 1, that's a win. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm just seeking clarification, because I see a few hands going up and I don't think it's all for and against. So... are you happy? Yeah, but everyone seemed to want to say something. Did you want to just move into suspend standing orders and just go around the table? Yeah, well, that's what, yeah. Well, thank you, Councillor Tolte. I've just asked for clarification from officers. Okay, so that was 4. Oh, speaker against?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Oh, Councillor Bishop had his hand up. Thank you.
Thank you. I will speak against. However, under these circumstances of the six-month extension, I will speak for it, and hopefully I can make clear why that's the case, because I have the right to do that, Councillor Gleeson.
I don't know what you do.
Well, would you like to debate me?
Can we seek clarity?
Can I ask if through the Chair if...
Are you speaking for or against the motion?
I'm speaking against the motion. I intend to vote for the motion. I'm speaking against it.
You can speak against it and still vote it.
Of course I can.
You? Yes, you can do this.
Absolutely I can. Thank you. When this commenced, I reluctantly put my hand up, because I saw us going down a merry dance with no real clarity, and we were not alone. The report suggests that many councils across the region did this. They created incentives packages without any real strategic plan. The reason I will be supporting this is because a six-month time frame for us to get clear about what the dickens we are intending to do hopefully will allow us some time to get clear about what we wish to have happen in our CBD. And I would like to point out what I was referring to in my previous comment, that there are many aspects about our community and our economy that are not going to be found in any strategy. There are people who want to invest in our local community because they know it. They will do that, and particularly the local people, the local businesses, and the local investors who understand this market, they're the ones who will invest here regardless of any report or any strategy that we do, and I think that we need to pay extra attention to them and encourage them to come to us rather than us developing action plans and going out to them and saying, here's what we have done for you so that we can get your sector going. I think they know their sector much better than we will ever know it, and I would like us to consider that as we go forward. So I'm going to support us having a six-month extension so that we can get very clear, and I think as councillors it is beholden upon us to either attend those Economic Development Advisory Board discussions where this deliberation is happening, and myself included, because I've missed the last 1.5 of those, but I've attended as many of the others as I possibly can, because we are the ones who have to make this decision. We are the ones who have to roll up our sleeves and be very clear about what we want for tourism in this city. We've got a branding strategy that's coming forward now, and hopefully that will give us some clarity. But I think it's very important that we don't overreach as a council in terms of what this city can and will do. Our economy will get on and do whatever they need to do in order to make sure that they get their requirements to meet their economic potential needs. And we need to be very attentive to who they are, what they want, and rather than try and line their ducks up for them, we should ask them how we can assist. That's our job as council, so that I think that that's the work that we need to do in this next 6 months. So I would not support this if it was just a 12-month thing. I understand that we're in a situation now, whereas if we don't support this, it would look like it was just a lapse, and therefore a missed opportunity on our heart, on our part to have thought about this beforehand. So I'd like to support the six-month extension, but really want us to be clear about how we consult with our economy. We should not be trying to get the strategic plans all lined up without asking those sectors to do that themselves. Ultimately, they're the ones who have to take responsibility for it. And if I will also note one other thing, that because other council, and council has supported those sectoral plans, one of the other councils has put those plans and strategies into endorsed council areas of priority, and when people come with an incentive to discuss incentives, they don't just look for economic financial handouts, they actually look for the support that officers can give as part of strategic priorities. That is the sort of work that I'm interested in our organisation doing, in our officers being aware of what's going on in those sectors, and rather than us writing action plans that other people will look to us to fund, we should be saying, sector, how can you help us get right what you need? And I think that is us responding to the economy. I'm very concerned about councils intervening in the economy by trying to pump prime things, because one of the other things that was mentioned is often with these incentives packages, what we actually do is we bring people into the market who are just going to sit there, and often they'll actually bring on early development that would otherwise happen naturally, and I think we've got to be concerned about that bubble that potentially will have external people outside our city who will have no vested interest in the long-term benefits of our local economy coming from further and further away and taking their profits further and further out of our city. And I'd just like to also point out that no matter how many strategy and action plans you have written, and no matter how brilliant the consultants are, when you have a thing like Amazon coming along in a second, that's going to radically interrupt our entire retail sector in this country. And I don't think we can get ready for that as quickly as the sector itself will. So I think we need to be paying much more attention to what the sector's doing rather than trying to get it right. That's my view. Thank you.
Thank you. I now ask for a speaker for the motion. Councillor Gleeson. Councillor Gleeson. Yep, Councillor Gleeson's just got it this time, but I'll remember you for next time. Thank you, Councillor Hughes.
Thanks, Chair. Is it Council's responsibility to encourage these type of developments? Abso-friggin-lutely. Look at Alex Hill Hotel, the new building extensions they've got there. We had a problem in the city with lack of accommodation and conference facilities. That holds back economic development, jobs growth in the city. It holds back a number of things, and this has addressed that in one foul swoop. I think it'd be really responsible to can it altogether. And I would question why or who has reduced the time frame from 12 months down to 6 again. That certainly hasn't been discussed widely, and comes to a bit of a shock to us again. That being said, the backhander side of it is the CBD incentive, as I said earlier. I haven't supported that from scratch. I think we're right down the wrong path. I think in many cases across the city, we ask for stakeholder involvement in any of our programs. We haven't done that with Cleveland. They've got big problems there. The property owners have got to take some buy-in on that. The actual CBD is not just the CBD anymore. We're talking a broader area. And there's a lot of confusion through there. I'd be really happy to see the CBD one come back and tidy that up really quickly. But the other program, the tourism accommodation incentives package, I think it'd be very irresponsible to wind that back right now.
Speak against. Yes, Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've supported this through the years. Obviously, back in when the GFC happened, 2007, 2008, a lot of councils went into this in incentive packages. It hasn't worked in Cleveland, not that I can see. Look around Cleveland, it looks the same as it did 10 years ago. It's not working in Cleveland. I mean, developments at Victoria Point, Capella Bar, that's where the people want to build and expand, and they're excluded from being able to tap into this incentive plan. And we've given it a fair run. It's time to, as Councillor Murray said, Councillor Elliott said, time to put a halt to it and to start looking at more. And I agree, having a look at some more strategic targets. Retail trades and services are where the future is in this city. We're not really incentivising any of them. I mean, I know of three projects at Victoria Point that could benefit from this incentive package, and they're not qualified. We just keep babying Cleveland. We're doing all these initiative things down here that just aren't working. Honestly, every apartment, half the apartments in the place are vacant. We've got a railway station down the road. God knows what's going to happen to Toondah Harbour when they build it. Like, it just dumbfounds me why we're not supporting people who want to build out in the other areas. I mean, I would like to change the motion that we extend develop the incentive across the whole city, not just Cleveland. Can I change that motion? I want to do it now. Look, you've got two other major centres in the city just that aren't getting any benefit.
That's pretty hurtful. Okay, I've been told that's too big a change to put on here, and that's the endorsed development of the new investment attraction strategy. That is one of the things which has been talked about that will be included in that forthcoming.
When is this? I've been here 5 years. Things go off to offices and you don't see them for 3 years.
Well, that's why it's got a 6-month extension time frame now put on it, so that it's 6 months to get it. That's why it's got the 6-month extension now to make sure.
Don't include Victoria Point at
point of order, if Councillor Bishop's called a point of order.
Yeah, Councillor, if I can through you, can I ask you to retract that comment about the offices? It's just an indictment suggesting offices are not being proactive, and I don't think that's appropriate.
I was just referring to bureaucracy in general.
I know that that's what you actually believe. I know it was a slip of your tongue, but I just think it's important that you clarify that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Councillor Hewlett has retracted that slip of the tongue.
I apologise for that broad statement. It wasn't completely accurate.
Okay, so we now want to speaker four. Councillor Hughes, you had your hand up for that.
Retract that and just say we put the motion because I agree with Councillor Elliott, I agree with Councillor Gleeson. I 1,000% do not support the CBD incentive package, and the devil is in the detail. What was really brought home to me was with the Cleveland Railway Station development. When we looked at the car parking, I was astounded and just really disheartened. Terrible, absolutely terrible. So very happy to support this motion to come through to the 6-month timeline so that we can tidy this up and get it sorted. The other thing I would like to say, so it sounds back to front again as Councillor Bishop spoke to, he spoke against the motion but will support, but I'm doing the reverse speaking for it because I just want to bring it on and get this sorted out. I'd also like to clarify that we are absolutely speaking about two packages separately when we all come to sorting them out, the Cleveland CBD incentive package number one and the tourism accommodation incentive package number two, that they not be bundled together. I absolutely want to deal with both of those separately. Also, just in finishing, and I know that it's been a very long meeting, that when you go to page 33 of the report and the table two snapshot of SEQ Council incentive packages, when you're looking at Brisbane City Council, Sunshine Coast Council, Logan Council and Gold Coast City Council, not one of them have supported any apartment buildings in their incentive packages. So very happy to bring it on to 6 months and let's get some work done behind the scenes. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Is there a speaker against?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Councillor Golay.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just very quickly, I'd just like to bring it back to the advice given by the external consultant to the Economic Advisory Board. His position was that this was an afterthought after the GFC. It has run its race, and at the only time frame to be given to this particular program is in order to drop this particular program and look at putting a new program together. So we realistically have two options here. We either scrap it all together and wait for the 6 months for the new program, or we just keep... where basically they said that there was no strategy. We needed a new policy. It hasn't been exactly effective, and we do need to put a new program in.
Sorry, are you cutting in and out?
Yep. Are you there?
Yep, we can hear you now.
Okay. Did you get anything I said?
I think we got most of it.
Advised the Economic Development Board that this program had run its race. It was done retrospectively off the back of the GFC. It's not working 100% the way it should be, and that it should realistically be made obsolete with a new package formatted, and the only reason a time frame was given was purely just to keep something open in order to allow time for work to be done for the new strategy to come into play. So we either remove this as an obsolete package and just allow the officers to do the 6 months worth of work and bring back the new package, or we're just keeping something open for the sake of keeping it open.
Okay, thank you. That's that one. Thank you. Was there any, that was against? Is there anyone for? Okay, then I'll speak for the motion. I'm on the same mind that unfortunately perhaps we haven't achieved everything that we wanted to achieve by this package over the years. Yesterday I attended a presentation by the consultant who actually wrote the report, which is included in today's agenda on the incentives package, and they gave their assessment of it. And what was highlighted in the presentation yesterday was the need for strategic direction. And what do we want to achieve, and what is the value? What value do we get from what we're putting into it? He also explained that there are two stages when you are trying to ramp up attention to your area. And the first stage was the proactive stage, where you let people know, you know, we are here and we would like to attract you. That's what he's saying we're in now, and what we were hoping to have by the incentive package. And then you go into the strategic stage where you actually get more targeted. So presently we're actually moving into this strategic stage and we have to get more targeted, and I think that is really the general consensus of all councillors around the room. So to date, as is written in the report, council has used financial incentives mainly as to get attention to our area in our package, and they have amounted to development fee concessions, which is all on page 32 of $355,000. Development fee concessions are given when they actually apply, so a lot of these now still haven't been completed, but some of them, when you actually look through the list, because I actually asked for further information and I received it, some of them are actually bed and breakfast, so they are mum and dads,
So this package isn't just helping the big end of town, it has helped mum and dads in that smaller end as well. Then you've got your infrastructure charges, and you have to be completed before you get that money. So that is an incentive in itself to hurry up, because you're not going to get that money until you complete it. So all up, out of the $2.1 million which has been allocated, only $739 has actually been used so far. And it was good to see that they were some bed and breakfasts. So over 22 different and very variety of businesses have actually used these incentive packages. And these have been totally new businesses, some have expanded business. So as the consultant said yesterday, one of Redland's issues is our employment and lack of for our locals. And so many people, 65% or something, have to leave the city for employment. Well, with new and expanded businesses, we are increasing local employment, which has the domino effect. You can then talk about less cars on the road, less people having to commute out. So there's this domino effect in that way. And we're also attracting more visitors. And I don't think anyone can argue that Redlands is a tourist destination. So by having extra tourist incentive package in here as well, and increasing employment, we're increasing our visitors. And then you have the domino effect there, because you have more employment, because more people are going to the restaurants. So more people need to be cooking and serving and cleaning up and everything. Plus we're bringing the outside dollar into our shops. And it's not just the restaurants, it's our tour operators over on Stradbroke, etc. Like everybody in the room, I think there's a bit of hesitant that perhaps the incentive package wasn't as successful. But if we actually stop it while we nut it out, what message are we sending out? Perhaps we don't know who's actually looking at our area at the moment. So if we cancel the incentives package, we might actually be disincentivizing Redlands. What was also mentioned yesterday, and we will be looking into going forward, is not every incentive has to have a financial value to it. Yes, they was given an example, and I don't know which council it was. They just did a really nice glossy brochure, and they worked out what their strengths were, and they put it in a glossy brochure, and they sold it out to the general public, and that actually brought in business, and it brought in visitors. So it wasn't a great expense. So we're working on our branding at the moment. Our tourism board, strangely enough, good timing, I was actually talking to a couple of them over the weekend at a function, and they're pretty excited. They said in the beginning it was a bit slow, Wendy, and we were thinking about leaving, but after the last couple of meetings, they're really excited, and I said, can you come back and talk to council about it? I'm dying to hear your ideas. So we've got local operators working on how they believe tourism can grow, so we're going down and getting the ground truth from them, and they're happy to come back to us. So I think, the other one that the fellow mentioned yesterday was just having a designated officer. You know, we have got fantastic economic development officers upstairs, but if you go out in the street, the people don't know. Make sure there's a face to economic development. So if there is a business, they go, oh, that's right, we ring Mary down at Redlands. You know, make sure Mary's face is there, or whoever it is, so that it's an easy win-win situation. Someone has got someone at the end of that phone when they ring. And all of those things aren't a huge financial incentive. A lot of them are support in kind. And as was said yesterday by Mark in his presentation, every council's doing it. And it was funny, I was thinking about his words, every council was doing it, and then I actually did pick up the Bayside Bulletin and have a read last night, and it's got global tourism, a boom for Stratty. Mm-hmm. Well, if every council is going to be putting out incentives, that means we are competing. And if we're not going to actually welcome these businesses into our city, it won't be any good to Stratty or anything, because these other actual councils, the Whit Sundays or whether it's out at Uluru, every council is trying to get that tourism dollar into their city to help with their local economies, and we have to be part of that. And I think it would be really remiss of us if we weren't giving some incentives, not always financial, but if we weren't giving some incentives to help our local people with their businesses and with employment growth. So this package as it is now expires on the 30th of June. So we didn't have any more time. Going forward, it would cease, which would send out that message, perhaps we're closed. But we are doing an investment attraction strategy. Even the words are changed, which means it's going to be new and improved, and it's going to have lots of things under that umbrella of investment attraction. It's not just saying incentives, it's saying attraction. And that's why I struggle with it as it is, but I am very happy with it being a 6-month time frame, and it's a definite time frame. And I'm hoping that a lot of these improvements and all these other attractions and non-financial incentives which have been discussed, by that time will be ready to go into this package and we can move forward for our city so that things like that happen. That word boom and tourism is not just at Stratty, but it's across our city. Because across our city, I can't believe it's such an easy place to sell. We've got everything in here. We've got the bush, we've got the bay, we've got the beach. We've got it all. We've just got to let people know we've got it all and get that dollar in here. And on that note, I'll move back to Councillor Edwards.
Nothing further to add.
Okay, I'll put the motion as it is on the board. Those in favour? Those in favour are Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Murray, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett. Was Councillor Golly mentioned anywhere? Right, thank you. I didn't hear you first up, sorry. Do I need to do that vote again then, or can you... Do it again? Okay, I'll just ask everyone to do it again because I didn't hear the aye the first time. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Hughes, and Councillor Golay, and Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Edwards and Councillor Elliott. What am I doing? Councillor Edwards. I'm getting you two mixed up, sorry. And Councillor Hewlett, you were against as well, Councillor? Yes. Thank you. Before we close the meeting, please, councillors, Councillor Tolte has sent an email with a separate issue. I haven't read it.
This is an urgent motion without notice, therefore councillors will have to...
Could we just wait a minute, please, while I discuss with the CEO? Thank you. Do I do a motion on it? Do I ask everyone for it? Yep. We're going to put the motion up on the board. Sorry, before we go there, I'll just say we're up to mayoral minute. There is no mayoral minute. And there's no notices of motion to repeal or amend resolutions. No notices of motion, and now we're up to the urgent business without notice by Councillor Tolte, which will be up on the board, and I will read it. Councillor Golay and Councillor Hughes, can you just confirm you've got the email, or would you like me to read it, please?
No email.
Okay. Okay, Councillor Tolte has put up an urgent motion that the report presented through a presentation and workshop by officers from Council's Disaster and Emergency Management in regard to the offer... Oh, juggling around. In regard to the offer by the Queensland Fire and Emergency Services of a brigade number and implementation and introduction of limited rural fire service for the mainland of Redland City be made available on the council website. I'm asking Councillor Tolte now. Okay, it'll be sent. Okay, thank you. And I'll just ask Councillor Tolte now, under the standing orders, must explain the nature of the urgency and answer questions about the urgency. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe this is urgent. We had two public meetings in the community. We had well over 100 people attend each of those meetings. They are asking, you know, for updates. I'm in a position where, as long as this information remains confidential from a workshop, it's difficult for me to answer those questions without possibly being in a position where I'm revealing confidential information. I've kept the motion broad. If there's information that is in confidence or is confidential for some reason between departments, I'm not asking for that to be put out. I'm just asking that the general information, the assessment, you know, the PowerPoints, whatever is available, be made public so that people can have a look at it and understand that it has been considered and assessed. And I'm asking for this to be done as an urgent matter because I believe that, A, it's dragged out for a very long time, and B, that other decisions of council that will be made in the next short while will be dependent upon people understanding where we're at with this.
Thank you. Can I just ask the CEO, do other councillors now get a chance to ask questions about the urgency? Okay, so there's a list. Have you got your list with you in your books about the checklist, about what makes it urgent?
So my understanding, Madam Chair, is it's on the last page of your agenda. I think it's designed to help the councillors make up their mind because the process will be that we ask these questions and you answer yourself whether it's yes or no, so there's not a right or wrong answer. Then you'll be asked to vote on whether or not you think that the matter is urgent. So,
could I speak to that, Madam Chair, please?
Does Councillor Tolte have to put the motion before she speaks to it?
No, the council gets to, it's her motion, so it is what it is. Then the council will decide whether it's urgent. If they decide that it is not urgent, then it fails and it doesn't get dealt with today. If it is urgent, then it stands. The only thing, and I understand Councillor Tolte's, I'm not sure, only because it's on without notice, whether there is information from, say, Queensland Fire or other agencies within that report where we would need their permission to release that. And I'm not sure if all of it can be made non-confidential, so we might just want to add, you know, relevant sections or some wording to that effect if you were to support it, because you can't adopt a motion which, you know, is essentially ultra vires, outside our power. So again, quick explanation, you can't adopt a resolution to release something that's owned by Queensland Fire because it's outside of your power. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So can I just ask at this stage, Councillor Tolte is wanting to speak to it, or... Yep. Or does Councillor Tolte have to put that this motion be accepted as urgent business first?
The way I understand it, Madam Chair, Councillor Tolte needs to run through this checklist with each of you. So again, the first question, to achieve an outcome, does this matter have to be dealt with at a general meeting of council? Just provide her version and the rest of you decide whether you agree or not, and then we just step through them.
So Councillor Tolte will move through this explaining why, and then at the end of that we'll vote on it. There doesn't have to be a...
No,
it's duly talks to it in regard to these points, And then at the end of that, does someone have to second it as well, or do we just then vote on whether it's urgent once we've listened?
You just vote on it.
Yeah, then as individuals, we vote on it.
Councillor Elliott, I think the check was just to help you make up your mind. There is no scoring system. You can have all no's and vote yes.
Yeah, we're just voting on whether we accept it or not at the moment. Yeah. So, Councillor Toddy, would you like to speak to it now, as was just clarified, and then...
Okay, well, I'm going to start with, is it in the public interest to raise this matter at this meeting? And it absolutely is. This is a great concern to the community, particularly my community, who are at risk of high threat from fire. Can the matter be wait to be placed on the agenda for a council meeting? Well, we are about to do our budget deliberations on the 26th of June. As I understand it, if this matter is to be considered, it has to be considered prior to the 26th of June or at the 26th of June, or we won't have another opportunity for a year until the next budget. So I think that it absolutely has to come forward now. Where did we vote for it, Councillor?
Does the matter require a decision of council?
Councillor Hewlett, please.
Does the matter require a decision only council can make? Yes, it does. To achieve the outcome, does this matter have to be dealt with at a general meeting of council? Well, yes, it does. So I'm not asking for a decision on anything other than officers to make available that information which can be made available to the public. We have had lots of opportunities in this room, and Councillor Elliott has repeatedly suggested that information that no longer needs to be held confidential should be put up for public scrutiny as soon as it's possibly can be done, many, many times. So what I'm saying is, if this information is available and there is no confidence or clash with other departments of government, then I would like this information made available to the community, please. And I believe it's urgent because I believe the community has a right to know where the assessment of this matter is at before we do our budget deliberations on the 26th of June.
Thank you, Councillor Toddy. Before we can discuss it, councillors, we now have to vote on whether it is urgent or not. So that's all we're voting on at the moment, is if this matter is urgent or not. No, we just vote. Councillor Golay and Councillor Hughes, are you understanding we are only voting on whether this matter is urgent or not?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep, right. I don't think so at this stage, but I'm seeking clarification on it.
Unfortunately, probably your call, Madam Chair, if you want to take a question or not.
I think we'll just move straight into the vote. Those in favour of this being brought forward as an urgent motion or business? Those in favour are Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Mitchell, and Councillor Hughes. Those against are Councillor Bishop, Councillor Murray, Councillor Hewlett,
Councillor Golay,
Councillor Boglari. I don't think it's urgent because it's budgetary. Now can I ask... that's it? Okay, so now we'll close the meeting at 12:28. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Paul and Tracy.